breathtaking discovery.
Don Geronimo. Michael Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC? CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs and security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Participate in a Don and Mike Show contest. How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For the contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey now, it's TV's Al.
How's Willie Tanner doing?
He's doing well. I keep telling him you can't drive and drink.
Did Al make a lot of money for Paul Flintstone?
Yeah, but he spent most of it on wine and drugs, and then the rest he wasted.
I gotcha.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
This is Keith.
Yeah, the Richard.
This is Don and Mike.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Why you don't know good fellow book?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
How old are ye today, boy?
Yeah, 30.
30, the big 3-0.
It looks like Rick.
And I know that, I said a special prayer last night.
Did you know that?
Yes, to the Son of Christ. I said, Dear Phil.
Yes.
Please fill Rob with a little more love and a little less hatred.
I think 3 decades of hatred are behind me. I'm ready to be the listener's friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Son of Christ, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, it's funny you should bring Phil up because he almost didn't make it out in time today.
Why?
Well, he was making good time, but he had to pull the limo over so he could vomit.
Oh. Hi, Libby.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Backbone and all the ships at sea. Hey, they invite prostitutes to join in. Dr. Geronimo and my owner.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. A new episode of the Don and Mike Show on Thursday, March 8th. Our lead story, he has beaten the odds. He has made it to 30 without having that fatal heart attack.
It's a milestone birthday.
Yes, and it is Robbie's birthday. We will be celebrating that birthday later in the show with a, well, there's no way to put it other than a live multi-girl sex show. for not Rob, because Rob also not allowed to receive the show himself.
We're going to have a special guest who's receiving the show.
A special receivee will be coming in to, someone who's never received one before will be on the receiving end today.
Wow. Very exciting.
So happy birthday to Rob and to Charlie Broyhill. I'd like to just say F you.
Why?
Well, you know, I don't know what the guy's hatred is of Cellular One and whatever it is that Cellular One has become now.
Singular.
Okay, whatever it is. You know, I knew my ears were burning. Rob came into the office, and I gave him, the birthday gift. What I thought was a real nice, thoughtful gift. I know he appreciates. And I got him and his wife's cell phones because they haven't had cell phones. You know, the whole, he's like,
very nice.
He is like a caveman, Rob. He has no modern technology. So he says, wow, thanks. That's great.
Sure.
You know, we got him set up with the sign on and everything. Give a couple months of service. I walk down the hall to talk to Charlie, and immediately I hear Charlie. The first thing I walk into him is he says, Well, I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh. I asked him, I said, what service do you have? And he pulled it out. I said, oh, Singular.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
It's anything to do with Cellular One. It's got to suck.
Oh, my God. Aren't they advertisers?
Yes.
Yes, well, I want to say that my phone is with them, and so is my wife's phone, and they work great.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that whenever I'm talking to Charlie on the cell phone, if I happen to be going through a bad cell,
right,
and I lose him,
it happens often,
as soon as I call him back, he always says,
nice service.
What service do you have, Mr. Boyhill?
Sprint.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have to ask, is the reason you like Sprint because you can just say a name in the phone and it dials? Is that the reason that you're drawn to it? No. Are they prone to high gadgetry, this Sprint? No. No.
I don't know.
He is the most cellular savvy of all of us.
That's true.
Yeah, but his hatred of the Cell One and whatever they've become has, for whatever reason...
I'd like to say I'm a Verizon wireless customer.
For whatever reason, he's hated them for years, and, you know, that's one reason I came down the hall, because I knew that as soon as Rob told you what I got him, you're going to start bad-wrapping the gift, and the boy knows nothing about...
No, the gift is great. It's so funny, because
the boy...
My ass hadn't even settled in the chair when you're coming around the corner and saying, F you, Troy Hill.
Right, they know it. Because, you know, the boy knows nothing about technology. For all I know, you're filling his head with thoughts that I bought him, like, the worst possible cell phone in the world.
No, not he said the phone is great. He loved the phone that you chose. He says, but don't go with that service. I mean, he looked at it like it was rotary dial. He said, this is not what you want.
Is it a digital phone?
Yes.
So it's digital service.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Yes. Well, digital is digital. Well, not according to Charles Broyhill.
Not according to the conversations we have on your phone.
Listen, a lot of times when I'm talking to you, it's right as I'm getting off the toll road and getting onto the beltway, and there is a bad spot right there.
And he's very snobby when it comes to the service. I remember one time I was showing him my digital phone, and he said, oh, analog Rome, terrific. Super job.
But you were here in the building. That shouldn't have happened.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
All right. I'm very happy with my service.
Yeah, as I am with mine. And then I had to pull Rob aside, and I got to do a whole sell job,
right,
on the gift I got him. I got to say, listen, the service is fine. I got him the plan where he can talk. He can call his wife, and there's no charge, you know, phone to phone.
Where's the phones? Do you have the phones?
Well, the phone, Don couldn't actually get me the phone because you need, like, Social Security number and all that stuff.
Right.
So what he did is he selected it, and he said, this is what you should get. And I said, great, that looks great.
And we had a second phone, a Nokia phone.
Isn't that like getting a picture? Though, isn't that like getting a picture of a gift instead of a gift?
I'm joking.
I say to you, F you. Because no, you can't go down and just. I could have gotten the phone, but you can't activate it.
We talked about. I'm just kidding you.
Rob has to activate the phone.
I know. I'm kidding you. Not the phone, Don, guilty of fraud.
And
I visited him in jail.
I am kidding.
And I did get him the second phone for his wife. That was in the box.
That's very nice.
Very cool.
So he can go down and pick out the phone that he likes the best.
Oh, that's good.
Any phone? Well, any phone that fits the check I gave him.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? The one that I selected runs about $100.
That's good.
Right. You know, through the couple of months of service. And then, you know, Broyhill.
It's just kidding. I am just kidding. It's a wonderful gift.
I'm a little sensitive. I apologize to you, but not to you.
I don't expect you. Who else has that service that I have trouble with is Larry Michael.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, well, that is a glaring indictment of Cell One.
Larry,
Buzz, what kind of cell phone? Do you have a cell phone? I do. Cellular One, as a matter of fact.
So Singular.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
no trouble. Buzz,
welcome to the leper colony.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the neat thing is when Larry's phone craps out, you can still hear him, though, because he talks so loud.
That's right.
All he needs is a string and Dixie cups.
Yeah, you just open up your window.
Oh, it's Ryder.
We open up the window right now. I'm sure we'd hear him broadcasting somewhere.
Hello?
You can get him an unlimited. Well, you just gave him the check, so he'll pick his service package, right? As far as like an unlimited service package.
No, there's a package that I recommended that I went and researched, and you know, it's good for him.
It'd be perfect.
He'll analyze it. You know, he'll get the right package.
Yeah, I want to make sure I don't spend a penny more.
The art of the deal,
right?
No, that's why I selected that. I don't know if your plan.
Maybe it's just my brand loyalty.
If your brand has this, but this Singular thing, Rob can call his wife. And then phone to phone, you don't get charged for it.
I can call Rob's wife, too.
And he does. And do you get charged for it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Rob.
99 a minute.
Rob. Rob will not be.
Hi, this is Carrie. What's your name?
What are you wearing right now? Why does Carrie have Rob's voice? We're doing Gary with Rob.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Rob.
How are you?
Okay, today.
You are so hot. Would you like me to be your mummy?
I'll be your mummy today.
I'm kidding, of course. You might be listening.
Let me die for you.
Will you use your cell phone?
Absolutely.
I mean, after Don's gone to the trouble, will you use
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a really cool thing, and especially now, like, we'll be going out and babysitters might need...
Hi, Brad.
Where are you? I'm at home. That's I'm at home, be, too.
Like babysitters. I know. No. Brad, you know where I am now?
I'm
on the Dulles Toll Road.
Brad.
No, I will use it. I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun.
All right, well, thanks, Broy Hill.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
Kicking and screaming.
Because I knew it. I mean, I swear to God, Robin walked out of the office. 30 seconds later.
Not
I
even that.
I walked into Charlie Broyhill's office where Rob was sitting down, and Broyhill was looking at him just going, you know, yesterday on the show.
I wouldn't recommend it. We were talking about Rob's gift, and you gave me a gentle reminder, and I told you that I had gotten Rob his gift, and Rob said that you've never got me a birthday gift, and, you know, I didn't, at that particular moment, the stunning level of ingratitude I didn't want to acknowledge, but I had given Rob on many birthdays cash money, which you'll remember correctly. But yesterday, you know, today was the first day I actually gave him a gift, and I gave it to him only for one reason.
Why?
Because, I mean, I'm not going to break the precedent of not handing him. I got him because now he's a father, so I got him a gift, but it was not for him. These were two gifts for his child.
Ah,
little baby
cool.
gifts, you know, and I said every year on your birthday, you know, you get your gift at Christmas, but your child will get a gift on your birthday.
The coolest thing about it is that there's one that's like an electric piano type toy that she really won't be ready for a while, but I guarantee it's going to get a workout tonight. I love stuff like that. So much fun.
Yeah, but, you know, you heard me yesterday when you said that, because I like to think every year that I would reach into my wallet and hand you a handmade card and cash. That was a gift, Rob.
Hold up. The handmade card that was made, like today.
Well, no, the handmade cards
before the show.
Today, no, not always, Don. Not always.
No.
Today's handmade card's not finished yet.
No, it's not.
I
want to clear up. I wasn't saying that you were not gracious. As a matter of fact, you've always been really generous. It's just it surprised me because it's not the way you operate.
I know.
The thing that I was the scaredest of is that I wouldn't get the handmade card, because I have every one dating back to 1993. And Mike's handmade cards
are beautiful.
They are.
What he does, he takes the publicity pictures of him and me, and he cuts me out of them.
Yeah, they always wonder what I'm doing back there, because everybody thinks I'm having some sort of nervous breakdown.
Exactly.
Because they see me, like, with the cutter, which, incidentally, is in a horrible position today. You don't put the little paper cutter...
Yeah.
And jam it up to the files. Sales folk!
Well, maybe it'll get better.
Last year, he made Rob a beautiful...
A mobile.
Mobile.
Oh, hanging in my office.
Like a thing that you would hang over a baby's bassinet.
So this year, we're going minimalist.
Because it has all of these pictures of Mike.
It's very, very artistic. Hey, Lisa, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm not going to do much more. In fact, I might give it to you as is. It's beautifully simple. Lisa, could you bring that card in and just don't show it to Rob. I'm just going to show Rob. I don't want to show it to you yet because I haven't decided whether I'm going to
turn around, please.
I want Don just to see the minimalist quality of this card.
I'm standing in the corner,
and I'm really, you know, I want to make sure this is the minimum. But I want Don to see this because I think it's just powerful, even though it's minimal. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, he likes it. He's going to get it that way. All right, Rob, I'm going to give it to you as is. Okay? Rob, you might like this one better than anything.
Right.
No writing on this one, okay?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy birthday. There you go. I wish I'd had glue. But that's tape.
The tape is good. This is amazing. This is lovely.
It's pretty well centered, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's within an inch either way.
Just his headshot.
You know what I was going to do?
Nice. I just taped it into the middle of a blank piece of paper.
You know, I might actually forge your autograph on it, so it means more to me.
You know what? I'm going to go with the other motif. Okay.
What's the other motif?
This is going to... I'll tell you what. It's not going to spoil it, because it's still going to be a beautiful card that you'll cherish forever.
How can you spoil art?
I'm going to get this picture, and then I'm going to get a current picture. And, you know, it's one without the beard, one with the beard. And it's going to say, yesterday, today... Always.
Oh, that's
Mike
nice.
O'Mara.
That's lovely.
That's
nice.
At least I can do.
That's
but I sure like this.
You're right about that is the least you could do.
Jesus.
I sure like that one and another one?
Yeah. Here you go.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, here,
you need to sign it. Here you go.
Here you go. Oh, we need a Sharpie, Rob. We're not gonna cheat you.
Here you go.
We're not gonna cheat you. Blue Sharpie. Okay.
Are you giving him any cash?
No, he got me presents. He got my daughter presents. With all my best.
All my best.
Wow.
There you go. It's
you know, I swear your signature is
You're welcome.
Changed.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Mike. I think there's an extra bump in it now.
Yeah, there might be.
Oh, that's
there might
great.
Be.
It's a... I'll always know this is one I didn't do.
Thanks. I'm glad you like that. And to answer your question, I'm sorry. No cash this
I
year.
Didn't think there would be.
Okay, thanks a lot.
How about a hug?
I actually would say, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there.
This is the best birthday ever.
Fantastic.
Softens the blow of 30.
There we go.
Yeah, 30. That's the funniest thing.
30. I like it. Yeah, no need to make another one. Cool, I'm off the hook.
I don't know which is funnier when we found out how old Charlie Broyhill was. Which is, like, what is he, like 37 or something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The first time we found out that Charlie was 30, we couldn't stop laughing. Because we figured him for 15, 16.
It's funny with Rob being 32.
Yeah, because with Rob, it's like, man, welcome to the world of the grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a father now, and he's 30 years old. He's officially an adult.
Right.
But he'll always behave like Rob.
Yeah, but look at him. Hi.
Are any of us really adults? I don't know.
Hi, well, Buzz is.
Yeah, Buzz is grown-up.
Well, Buzz has been for a long time.
That's right.
I had a thought this morning. I was actually taking my vitamin, and I've been prescribed the vitamin for mature adults, Centrum Silver.
Why?
Because there's no iron in it. Apparently, it's what I need. I don't know.
Hello, doctor.
Rob, listen. I know you're only 29, but we're going to prescribe you a senior citizen's vitamin.
So I'm looking at the bottle, and it says for mature adults. And I just start shaking my head. Yeah, right. Have you ever met anyone less mature?
Yeah. All right, well, happy birthday.
Thank
we
you, guys,
will be celebrating this grand day later in the show.
Appreciate
good.
All the stuff.
Here's what we want to start with today. We mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday. We're going to have a medical experiment. Now, this is not a goof.
Right.
This is an actual experiment. I'm going to call the doctor up here in a moment. Her name is Dr. Angela Harris, and she has some type of pill that will make a woman's bosom grow.
Wow.
So it is something you ingest.
Yes, it is.
All right.
It is all natural.
Very good.
Made with herbs and such.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Close to 2 million women receive breast implants. 1 out of 4 have at least one complication after surgery. Angela Harris reveals the health conspiracy that threatens women, the horror stories that have been kept under wraps. Her boobs have grown since she started making these herbal remedies. She had cancer.
Okay.
According to the story I'm reading, we're going to call her in a second. This broad had cancer. She cured herself of cancer and went on to become a foremost expert in herbal therapies. And as a side effect of this cancer cure, she found out that her bosoms began to grow.
Wow!
She would now like to share this miracle with 5 of our flattest chested women listeners.
That's incredible. So out of her herbal treatments that she was taking for cancer, she discovered that her breasts were increasing in size.
Yes, and she says the boobs will grow. And what we need are 5 women. We'll have a contest. We'll tell you about this later. To select the 5 flattest chested women listening to the show who would be willing to take this natural product called Nubust for 3 months.
What does she claim will happen if you take the Nubust?
Well, she says that your boobs will grow.
Didn't you say yesterday a cup size?
Yep. We're going to call her right now. She's in Texas. She'll be in next week.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
But we're just going to...
It is you, now.
Just going to give you the...
we have the Nubust.
The background on this broad, so you know she she's not some bit that we've lined up.
Is she a medical doctor?
I don't think so, Mike. She's like Dr. Laura.
Hello.
Or like Dr. Liddy.
Yes.
Hello, Angela.
Yes.
Angela, hi, it's the Don and Mike Show. How are you?
Hi, great, thank you.
Listen, we were just talking about your herbal product that helps women's bosoms grow. Can you? And I mentioned that you cured yourself of cancer. Could you tell us what kind of cancer you cured yourself of?
I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in the 4 stages, and I was actually given 3 months to live if I didn't do chemo and a year to live if I did do chemo. And I figured I didn't have anything to lose. I'd been studying herbs for a couple of years and didn't know anybody who'd cured their cancer. And so thought I would change my diet and take a bunch of different kinds of herbs and try and prolong my life. And here I am.
So this this product that you say saved your life, what came out of this was that your bust line got bigger at the same time?
No, completely different herb.
Oh, really? Oh, it's a different herb for your boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how did you find out the herb that makes the boob grow?
Oh, yeah. Well, once you cure cancer, boy, people hear about it, and doctors and people come to you for all sorts of things. And a gal came to me. She had some infertility problems. She couldn't get pregnant. I mixed up a formula for her, and she came back 3 months later, and she wasn't pregnant yet, but her breasts had grown from an A cup to a C cup in 3 months.
My God.
That's rather impressive.
And then yeah. I guess you started trying it on other women.
Yes. Well, word got out, and pretty soon women were lined up around the block waiting for this formula, and they just started using it. We started finding out that it balances women's hormones, and so the body kind of takes care of itself, so it lessens PMS and any problems they might have associated with them monthly, once a month, you know.
Well, why the boobs growing, though? I mean, I know, you know, what causes it? I mean, what happens?
Well, my research has shown that a lot of women are underdeveloped because during puberty they had too much stress, or they ate really bad, or they had, you know, whatever was going on. Anyway, their hormones were out of whack. And so what these herbs do in this particular combination, these herbs balance women's hormones, so the body kind of takes care of itself and does what it normally was designed to do. A lot of these women have not grown to their potential, their normal size that they would have been, and this just kind of takes care of this, and so they grow naturally. It's nothing, nobody's going to grow from an A to an E. They only grow proportionate to their bodies.
All right, now, for the women that we select for this experiment, what can you tell us about the product? I mean, I don't want you to be like Colonel Sanders telling us the secret herbs and spices, but is this, whatever the pills are, can you tell us some of the ingredients? I mean, is it all natural stuff?
It is. And I'm really a stickler for that. I really, really only want to put in there things that are really, really good for women. And I found that these, the herbs that are in here, they've been used for centuries. Safely. It's just in this particular combination. The very first formula that I came up with kind of caused acne and bloating a little bit, but I have to, you know, take care of that, because for me, challenges are what I like, and so this particular formula takes care of that, and women do not have those side effects at all. In fact, the only real side effect that I need to warn women about is that it tends to make them very amorous.
So it makes them horny.
A little aphrodisiac quality to it.
Little Randy, yep. Sure does. Yeah. And
what are your statistics? I mean, as far as your success rate with how many women have you tried this on, and what's been the success rate with the women you've tried it on?
Thousands. I mean, thousands of women. Oh, yeah, definitely. And we found that the studies show that 82% of the women have breast growth that are underdeveloped. We found 82%. There is a small percentage of 18% of the women who do not have breast growth. They either are very, if they're too muscular, or if they were anorexic during high school, then it seems like their mammary glands are kind of have been destroyed. So they don't grow. But they do, they still can benefit from the PMS, you know, and helping them with PMS and painful periods and headaches and things like that. So we started using it on larger busted women because some of them suffer from, you know, these hormonal imbalances about 2 years after I discovered it. And we found that it didn't make the larger busted women grow, but it did dramatically reduce their sagging. For women who have breastfed and lost their shape, I mean, it's incredible.
So out of the women, if we get five small-chested women in here, do you feel confident that four of them would see growth over a three-month period?
You bet. Absolutely. I really know that they will, because we've seen so many, many women. Within a month, they should grow an inch or two.
And I would imagine that if you had a product like this and you had run it by thousands of women, you probably wouldn't be going this route. You wouldn't be going to a radio show and doing this where, you know, 6 million people can see what's going on if you weren't confident that this was going to work.
Oh, I'm way confident on this, because this is something, it's really important to me. I thought this was a cute little formula when I first discovered it, but I didn't think there were any significance to it, and I was not a marketer, and people came to me to market it. But I really, really found out how important this was when I started working with women who had breast implants and breast implants that would break and grow black fungus in the so-called saline. Their bodies would be eaten away, and I'd be working with all these poor women that nobody talks about. And so I want women to know that they have options. So you betcha. I'm very confident with this.
All right. Well, we will, I believe, talk to you again on the 19th, a week from Monday, when we have selected our five test cases, and we will measure them and look at them at that point.
Is there any type of small-busted woman that you really recommend for this? I mean, that would be more likely to benefit from the herbal remedies?
you know what? Anybody who, any woman who has just, if their mothers or their grandmothers are larger busted and they were kind of cheated, you know, if it's in their DNA to be larger busted, also if they had nursed some children and kind of lost their size, which happens very often with these poor women, they have to wear loaded bras all the time because they just, they've lost their chest.
I know about that. All right. Hold on a second, Angela. Hold on. Charlie needs to talk to you. All right. So, see, she's not a kook. Or, I mean, she might be a kook, but, you know.
You decide. You know, if it's all natural and there are no side effects, that's what everybody's worried about. And, I'm sure that she'll have all the literature for any woman that wants to try this. And she'll, you know, this obviously has been approved. She couldn't sell this stuff if it wasn't.
No, it's FDA approved. Yeah. Let me see. Dr. Recommended and tested for effectiveness. So, what we need are five women. Now, we have already one woman who wants to participate in this experiment.
But I hear. Can you say that again? What is it, Don? It's Dr.
FDA approved, doctor recommended, and tested for effectiveness.
I love it when you do the medical speak. I really do.
Well, I am just,
If you'd like to give out her number.
Oh, her phone number. Right. Girls, if you want to just buy it. Without hearing what happens with our experiment, call 1-800-731-9910.
Is that a picture of the doctor right there?
Yes, it is. She's no pig. She's a good-looking woman. Now, there's not a picture of her boobs there,
mm-hmm.
but she's not a handsome woman.
Yeah.
And it grows breasts. Lisa would like to participate.
Huh.
We didn't twist Lisa's arm on this. Lisa, come on in here for a second.
I don't get that. I think she's fine the way she is.
Well, when she heard about this, about the fact that we were going to select five women with small breasts, mm-hmm. let them take this herbal remedy for 3 months, then come in and be re-photographed and re-measured.
That's a good question. And one of the questions I would ask you, your mom or anybody in your family, grandmother, whatever, do some of the women in your family have larger breasts than you do?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm probably about average.
Right.
One of my sisters is on the smaller side.
Okay.
I'm about average for my family.
Why did you want to volunteer for this?
Well, why not?
That's the spirit. That's the spirit of this show, isn't it? Absolutely.
You realize, of course, that I guess it will be Monday the 19th when we select.
Yes.
You'll just have to be, although you're in the contest already because you work here.
Right.
You'll have to be like one of the regular contestants where you'll have to, you know, strip down and let us see.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll cross that when we get there.
She's looking at both of us right now and saying, we'll see.
You've already shown us your boobs before.
Oh, sure.
Don't you remember that day that she walked by the window? Certainly Buzz has seen him a million times.
No.
A couple.
Are you optimistic? Have you read any of the literature about this?
No, I'm going to. I'm going to seriously look over it. And
right.
Are
you a little nervous about this? I sense a little no.
No, not really.
Not at all?
No, she came to us. I mean, really? We were just going to do it with listeners, and Charlie said Lisa wants to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just basing that on the we'll see.
You have to do that because there has to be a before and after.
Uh-huh.
There has to be a measurement.
Well, I mean, all the other contestants are going to be doing that.
Oh, I understand.
How would we know otherwise?
Yes, how would we know otherwise? Correct. Thank you, Dr. Buzz.
That's right, Dr. Buzz. Dr. Buzz over there.
How would we know? How would we know?
We'll know. No.
Listen, only five women can participate. So either you participate like the regular listeners.
Well, totally up to you.
It's up to you.
So you're still considering that, right? The stepping stone is coming in here and being half naked.
That's
not a problem?
That's not a problem. I'm going to look over the literature.
So you thinking about that. What's the will see? Is the will see based on you want to just do a little more research on it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's sure. Valid.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, you're... Yeah,
with what?
Not.
Showing your boobs?
My breasts.
Yes, your breasts.
Right. No, I don't.
What are you shooting for out of this? What would be the dream scenario for you with this herbal remedy?
My breasts get larger.
How big are you now? What's your bra size
I'm
now?
A full 36B. I can wear C cups.
And you want to be what?
A full C, a C...
Yeah.
That's, why not?
Sure. Go for it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. A big C. Okay. Well, you're in if you want to be in. You got first dibs.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. There she is, Lisa.
a pioneer. There she is.
I'm telling you. We didn't twist her arm.
No.
And if she decides she doesn't want to...
Do you think the Will C was based on our, you know, our apparent glee?
Do you think the Will C was just
based on our attitudes in here?
Because now that I think about it, that day that she was outside the studio and she flashed us at the window,
yeah,
that's back when she was not a regular member of the crew.
She was just running by, and now, you know, now she's a regular member of the crew. You know, we all work together, and I think when we said that, you know, when you said, you'll know you'll have to be half naked and your top will have to be off. And as you said that, I believe the three of us just kind of had that look on our faces where we were smiling with our eyes.
Yes.
That might have turned her off. And for any women who want to participate, I guess we'll take calls.
You're going to have to come down here, though, and show us what you've got, and you have to be measured.
Right.
And then you have to start taking the pills from the doctor, and then you come back in 3 months.
Said she's worked with GNC, you know, that big vitamin company.
All right.
So she consults them. So, that's
so you know, maybe she's not Dr. Bombay.
She might be a witch.
Yeah, who knows? But if you've got small boobs, I mean, what have you got to lose?
Right. I'm going to take the supplement. Absolutely, for that and my PMS.
So if there are any women out there who are interested, I guess you could call now if you want at 877-365-3636, and we'll arrange an appointment for you to come down and show us what you've got.
Come down here. You put your scheduled appointment. It'll be fantastic.
The DJ will see you now.
We are going to select the five, with or without Lisa, the five neediest women. This is very similar to the time that we did when we gave away a breast job that one time on the air, except this is all natural.
Right. Get here early so you can fill out a little paperwork.
Right.
And and bring a prescription card.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Vera.
Hi, Vera. How are you, honey?
I'm good.
You got
How do I become a participant?
Really? You got small ones?
Very little.
How little?
Almost A.
They are what?
Almost A.
Are you the smallest woman in your family?
I am.
And other members of your family have a better developed bust?
My sister is a C.
You're what? I know somewhere Charlie Broyhill's saying you're on a cellular one. Hold on. Your phone is breaking up. Hold on. Let me take another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. You got small boobs?
I have an A, and my sister has a D, and my mom has a C.
Oh, then you're perfect for the experiment.
I agree.
Okay, so if you were to read the literature, you'd feel comfortable taking these pills for 3 months and then coming back and showing us if anything happened?
I do.
Okay, well, you know, the first step will be, you got to come down, look at the literature.
No, the first step will be freeing us from any liability.
Yeah. Well, that's all included. I mean, there will be the standard waiver.
Of course.
That is the waiver of liability.
Start growing one in the middle of your back.
Right. You come down, you get the rundown on what this is. It's just herbal pills. And then you would have to take your shirt off and be measured.
Right.
So we could get a before and an after.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that. I actually went in for a consult to get breast implants, so I've been through the whole photographing and measuring thing before.
Well, this will be really terrific if it works. I think it'll be a grand experiment.
Sure will.
Yeah.
Sure will.
I mean, really, it'll be super.
If we do this on March 19th, if we start the girls on the pills on March 19th, April, May, June, that means by the 4th of July,
right,
4 out of the 5 girls will have bigger boobs.
Just think, beach right in time for the hot beach weather.
Right, beautiful. All right,
exactly.
Hold on.
I look good in a bathing suit.
Hold on a second, Amanda.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see why we have to wait until the 19th to bring all the girls down. I mean, as soon as girls call in, and just schedule an appointment, have them come down.
Yeah, and not all the girls that come down are going to be perfect candidates. You know, we have to, you know, some of the girls might be a little too large.
Yeah, that's right.
But we'll see you all.
We will. We will. Our shingle is out.
Absolutely.
Our shingles are out.
Well, we want to be fair.
We want to find the five flattest women.
Right.
And I believe when we gave away the breast enlargement that time, when we were looking for the ugliest breast, we had like 30 or 40 women show up that day.
We're not doing that this time. We're looking for the smallest bust line.
Yeah, not ugly breasts.
Not ugly.
Small breasts.
Absolutely.
Teeny breasts.
Little breasts. Could take days.
could take a week.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes.
But you know what? We're here for the long haul.
We are, because we care about this. We'd like to make it work for you.
So we got Amanda and the other girl on the line who had the bad cell phone, and Lisa, and at least three other openings. So, you know, we'll continue to talk about this over the next couple of days. We'll next be in contact with Dr. Harris on the 19th. Which is a week from Monday.
So she is a doctor. She's either a PhD or a medical doctor,
yes.
Right? Her name is Dr.?
Dr. Harris.
Dr. Harris.
My doctor, Dr. Harris.
Right, so well-educated woman.
And we'll start the women on the pills on Monday, March 19th.
Fantastic.
So if you're interested, call us.
And we'll get progress reports during the 3 months, too.
And generally, if you want to know if you qualify for this contest, if you're a woman right now, here's a nice self exam to give yourself.
Good.
Lay down flat on your back, and if someone could drink soup out of your breast, you're probably what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, if they go in instead of going out when you lay down,
right,
then maybe you should start taking what the hell is the product called? New bus.
I like the idea that the doctor had about, you know, family members in your family. Like, if you're the small-breasted one in your family, and your mom had large breasts, your grandmother, your, you know, your sisters, I like that idea, because maybe this can really help.
If just a booby fairy passed you up.
If they have sisters with larger breasts, should they bring the sisters down with them?
Now, that would be good for research.
I think so. I really, just for comparison.
And not say, grandma.
No.
Well, hey, come on. Come on. Breast of breast.
Yeah, why not?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. I was wondering if you could give me that 800 number again.
Sure. 731-9910.
Say that again. I'm driving.
Honey, why don't you just join the contest?
Well, no, my chest is way too big.
I want it
for my girlfriend.
Oh, right.
Swear to God. I'm a 36C.
Well, then your girlfriend would have to call us herself.
I don't want to join the contest. I want the 800 number for the product.
We just gave it to you.
I just gave it to you. Bye-bye.
I know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Christ, this is not an infomercial. I mean, I don't mind doing a commercial for the doctor, but our first goal is to get the five, you know, guinea pigs for this contest.
The first five.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. The final five.
The final five.
The final five.
The final five. The process to get to the final five could be lengthy.
F squared. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How are you guys today?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, would you like to have a male volunteer to help take some of that? See just what happened on the side?
No.
What, you don't think it might do something to your testicles or something?
No, and would that be you? Would you want to have it, try to have it do something to your testicles?
What do you want, your balls to be bigger?
Oh, well, no, they're kind of big anyway. I was hoping they'd shrink up.
Right, okay, see ya.
Hey, nice talking to you guys.
Right, goodbye, son.
You guys are good work.
Okay.
You guys are really nice.
Goodbye, see
ya. I love ya.
See ya.
Don't go yet. Please, don't go.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, this is Don. I was just wanting to tell you guys that there's also a flyer going around in the mail.
About what?
About your penis can also enlarge up to 2 inches and maintain the thickness growth, you know, at the same rate.
Well, I mean, it's not the same product.
Well, listen, it's not the same product.
I think Ron and Fez are doing that contest on their show. We're not going to do the growing penis contest on our show.
Just Fez.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I don't know about their boobs, but this is making my penis grow.
Oh, my. Well, it's nice to know that there's some observers that are already getting into the contest.
All right, so listen, ladies, that's what you're doing. We're doing, if you're interested, it'll call us. Office hours are 3 to 7 every day, East Coast time.
Fantastic. We'd love to see some new patients.
Call first, though, and I think that Lisa will actually have to be doing the measuring.
Yeah, yes.
With the tape measure around the boob, but certainly we can tell you what's happening visually.
Back in the screener's room back there, they'll be referring new patients to us.
So let's break now and try to give away $500 with a secret song, and then we'll, who knows, maybe talk to more, you know, women who are carpenter's dreams.
Fantastic.
Flat as a board and easy to screw. So call us now if you want the money, the $500, 877-365-3636. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. I go out of my way for you. I do everything to try and make you happy. I feed you, I clean you, I dress you, and what's
stupid favor, but you just better start showing me a little more appreciation around here, Mr. Man.
If only we could fly.
The mayors of Cunnyland, Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
I told you we need some new bumpers, right, Rob?
Right.
Yeah, okay, we're working on that.
Ah, good, it's that time of year.
Time for a call. 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Am I caller 100?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, gosh darn it, I'm happy.
God damn it. Right. Hi, what's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie, where are you from?
Alaska.
Charlie, go see the movie Hannibal.
I already did.
Well, then, enjoy a box of Lucky Charms cereal.
I can use that.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from General Mills.
All right.
Do you want to see Hannibal again?
Sure, I'll see it again.
All right, go see it again. Courtesy of MGM Universal and AMC Theaters. Now, Charlie.
Yes.
You're from Anchorage, right?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Where it is now, what, almost noon?
11:52.
Excellent.
Almost noon.
Local time in Anchorage. I just did a bunch of liners for the station there, and they had me recut them because it said Anchorage. And they said, no, it's not Anchorage, it's Anchorage.
Anchorage.
That's how locals pronounce it, Anchorage.
Anchorage. Yeah, that's good. Well, gay, you know, it's pronounced in the local vernacular.
A-N-K, and they wrote it like a retard, A-N-K-R-I-G-E.
When we first done in Reno, we were saying Reno, Nevada, and they said, no, it's Reno, Nevada.
That's right.
Those guys down south here, Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Oh, well, listen, Chuck, why don't you just change it? Why don't you just call it
Anchorage?
You're going to play for $500 now with secret song number 7, a top hit from the 1990s. We need title and artist.
Okay.
And please, even if you don't know, just give us a guess, any song from the 90s. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Any Irish folk troupe.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Ah, there it is. But Mike, if you're going to sing like an Irish folk troupe, you have to dig a shallow grave. If we give away the money, it's courtesy of Main Street Isol.
Well, it's no name. Never. No, never,
never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
Trying to keep it different.
For $500, give us the title and artist, please.
I'll have to choose Vanilla Ice, Ice, Ice Baby.
Would you please repeat that?
Vanilla Ice, Ice, Ice Baby.
Come on. Right. Only because you can pay me.
I know, I know.
I mean, let me at least toy with the people
okay.
on the phone.
Absolutely.
No, not a chance. It's Ice, Ice Baby. No. But thank you, and don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
A clue for you.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't playing good poker there, was I?
No, that show is for my benefit too, and I just that was one where I just come on, yeah. boys.
Right.
Yeah. I knew it. Who didn't know that was a horrible guess?
Not a chance. Although Ice, Ice Baby was
it a number one hit?
This one's not a number one hit.
Oh, it's 20. Not a number one hit.
No, it's
okay.
Not 20 hit. And Ice Ice Baby was one of the songs that we thought of, but it's too recognizable. Like that,
bing, bing.
Like that dumb gay, what was the one that they got right away?
Ding, ding,
oh,
ding, ding,
I'm too sexy for my car.
Yeah.
Too sexy for my car. That's the one everybody got right away.
I picked right up on that one.
Right. You're the barometer.
Yes, I am.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Robert from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes, Robert, hello.
Have you all made any progress on coming back on the air down here?
Does nobody in Greenville read the newspaper? There was a giant article about us in the newspaper yesterday in Greenville.
Well, would you please fill me in?
There was a giant article about us yesterday in the newspaper.
Okay. Well,
you know what? You're right, Rob. Maybe you're right. A large percentage of our listeners in South Carolina can't read.
Absolutely, and we shouldn't discriminate.
Right? They'd love to, but they can't.
Yeah, until they come out with newspapers on tape.
Yeah.
You don't read the newspaper, do you, sir?
Well, actually, I subscribed to that one, but I didn't catch it yesterday.
You didn't catch it? Okay.
There's a Mensa meeting.
You went to the Mensa meeting?
Uh-huh.
No, there was a Mensa meeting.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back next Wednesday.
On which channel?
I wish I could tell you which channel. I don't know.
Which station? I'm sorry.
I don't know the call letters, but I know next Wednesday is the day that we return to Greenville.
Okay.
All right.
And it's in yesterday's paper.
Yes.
Well, that's great. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
And I hope all your listeners appreciate you like I've come to appreciate you since you've been gone.
Well, that's wonderful. We're looking forward to getting back on in Greenville.
Oh, great. Thanks, man.
There's one guy I'm not looking forward to hearing from Greenville.
Yeah. Who is that?
And that's the guy with brain cancer.
Oh.
Because today he sent us a picture of himself.
Yeah.
With a letter that said, "Dear Don and Mike, really miss your show. It used to get me through the day." Whatever the guy's name is, Joe, the brain cancer guy. And it was a Polaroid picture. And this guy has a scar going, and a gigantic scar.
Yeah, it's obviously where they opened up his head.
Going, like, from between his eyebrows,
yeah,
all the way along the left ridge of his face, all the way down to almost mouth level.
Yeah, we haven't talked to him, and I'm not sure, you know, whether this invasive procedure was, you know, done to really cure the problem or whether he's made any progress. But I'll tell you one thing. They've gone in there. That's okay. Pretty obvious, wow, from that scar.
They sure have. The brain cancer guy.
Well, he's probably milking it, too, though.
He's probably what?
He's probably milking that, also.
Well, that's a sensitive thought, and I certainly hope that never happens to you.
Well, you know what? Listen, I got to be honest. He tried my patients.
He tried our patients because he did call. He called how many times? It's one thing for this guy to say, but, I mean, how many times did he call?
He called all the time. Hey, it's the brain cancer guy.
He called one day. I think somebody said he called one day like 40 times.
Right. Wanted to talk just because he had brain cancer.
I wonder if he was using a cell phone.
That's a good question.
I don't know. If he was, I'm sure it wasn't cell one. All right, listen, got to go. See you at the next Mensa meeting.
That's right.
Right.
I'll be there.
Mensa, M-E-N-Z-A.
That's right.
See you there.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mensa.
And we will be on in Greenville, so tell anybody, if you know someone down in that area, we're coming back.
Tell your kinfolk.
Your kin.
Tell us Don Mike Show.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi there. You're on the air.
I was calling to tell you about a great show yesterday, or Tuesday. I couldn't get through yesterday. I walked in. I was in a hurry getting out of the house, and this guy had to tie my boots. I walked in. This guy was sitting there. Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? I
thought, hold on. You're talking in Bob Ryan sentences. You're like, you're getting four words out of each sentence, and then you're starting a new one.
Slow down.
I had to tie my boots when I walked in, and this man asked me what I was doing.
Boots?
It was Tom Gavin. He started coughing. He begged me to go to...
It's not going
to
stop.
Does anybody know boots that come with laces?
Like
work boots,
Tom
you mean?
Gavin wanted me to go get him cough medicine. He bugged me for about 5 minutes to go get him some cough medicine down at the local drugstore.
And now you stop. You got it all out, and you're stopping now, right? Are you taking a little nourishment now?
Let me see if I follow this. You came to the Las Vegas Style Show on Tuesday night.
Yes.
You were lacing up your boots.
Yeah, I was running late.
No, Don didn't. Hold on, Don. Hold on, stop. Don asked you if you were lacing up your boots.
I was tying my boots.
Well, you said lacing. I'm just using your words. You were lacing up your boots.
Yes.
You tying your boots.
Yes.
And at that point, what happened?
This man,
turn your radio down, sir.
What are you doing?
Sir?
My radio is off.
Well, I hear something in the background that's obviously distracting you.
I'm paying attention to traffic. I'm driving up the road. This guy is coughing, sitting on a bench. It's Tom Gavin.
Where? Where?
Inside the door.
All right.
Right where his, by the coat check, where he had a shirt for sale.
The door of the venue, the door of Club Exhale.
Yes. And he was sitting on a little bench, and he wanted me to go to the local drugstore and get him a bottle of cough medicine, something to take care of his cough.
And you know,
he had a terrible cough.
Coincidentally, when I walked in the door at Club Exhale, I saw Matthew Perry sitting on a step, and he asked me if I would please go buy him some Vicodin.
And you did.
I did, well, because
he needed it.
Because he's my favorite friend.
That's right.
Of all the friends. Yeah. And Matthew Perry... I'm reading today in the newspaper.
Matthew Perry's taking a little trip down the Elvis Highway.
Man. Matthew Perry, hold on, let me see, wait a minute. He takes Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then he also takes Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he also drinks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, hold on. He was taking...
And methadone.
Methadone, Vicodin, Speed, and he was drinking.
Drinking heavily.
And we were trying to go through what order he would take them in.
Yeah.
Okay, so you take
the Vicodin.
You take the Vicodin.
That would make you sleepy, right?
Yeah, that's a pain medication. If you were drinking, it would not be unusual to wake up, take a couple of Vicodin for pain of maybe a hangover.
All right, well, hold on. Vicodin lasts.
No, I think...
But once you take the Vicodin for a while, you get it does the opposite. It makes you go. I've had a lot of surgeries, and I was hooked on the same thing.
You were hooked on Vicodin?
Yes, for 6 years. Now, I have to go to the damn methadone clinic, well, 2 times a week. It was every day.
Wow, really?
You earn your take-homes, yes.
Next time you're at the clinic, pick up some cough medicine for cough.
Yeah, that's what he wanted me to do.
Here's what I think Matthew Perry's routine would be. It would be Vicodin first thing, then because he's groggy, he would take the speed, then because he was all hyper, he would take
methadone,
and then, well, what does methadone
do? This guy would probably be, if you were on methadone, how would he's been on speed, Vicodin, methadone, and he's drinking, how would he, like a normal day, what would he probably do? Because you've been addicted and you've taken methadone, so tell us.
Right, he would be what's called a speedball, like cocaine and methadone or cocaine and pain pills. You don't know whether you're coming or going.
Well, what is methadone?
Thanks for answering my question.
Methadone is a synthetic heroin. What? It's mainly for heroin addicts. But
wait, slow down, please. Just tell me, what do you get off of taking methadone?
When I first got on the program, it was a terrific buzz, like taking 10 Percocets at once or 10 Vicodins at once. I mean, in the afternoon, I'd be nodding out. I was calling the person at the...
All right, hold on, sir. You sound like you're doing well. Let me just ask him a question, Rob. We're trying to figure out what the order was that he would do. What do you take the methadone for? It's to get off the Vicodin, right?
Heroin.
Yeah.
No, but he also to get off. Mm-hmm. He took methadone because he had been in the clinic before, trying to get off the prescription painkillers.
But Us Magazine says when he checked into this rehab place, he was taking all four at the same time. He was taking Vicodin, methadone, speed, and he was drinking.
Right. So how would he take it, sir? What would he do?
Well, he would have to. When he didn't have the Vicodin, because, you know, you can't just go get it from anybody. I mean, after a while, I had my own business. I'd be asking customers that I was doing.
Oh, please, listen, hold on.
He's not capable of answering a question easily.
You know, he's Matthew Perry. I'm sure he can get plenty of Vicodin. Question is, what's the order?
Right.
Do you drink first, then take the Vicodin, then do you take the speed, and then do you take the methadone? At what point, what's the order in which Elvis Matthew Perry is taking the stuff? What's the order?
That's what we wanted to be. I mean, we read that, and it was confusing. The methadone, to the best of my knowledge, would be given to him when he was in rehab.
Right.
And he would be prescribed methadone for rehabilitating from an addiction to painkillers.
But if that guy who was lacing his boots was right, if one methadone makes you feel like 10 Vicodin,
then you're having basically two kind of narcotics going
maybe
on.
Then I would think he'd start with the Vicodin, then he would take the speed. To come down from the speed, he would take the methadone.
And then he'd go out drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then he's going to be on a slab somewhere.
Yeah. And then he'd show up to work. He'd be Chandler.
Wow. And they say there's an article about this Vicodin that apparently it's, you know, the prescription drugs are now what they're doing out in Hollywood.
Everybody.
And, you know, you can get hopelessly addicted, Rob applauding. You can get hopelessly addicted to this Vicodin stuff.
Well, what's the order, though?
I think you're right. I think the order would be it's either first thing in the morning when he's got a, you know, when he's feeling bad, he's going to take the methadone or the Vicodin because he's been out drinking the night before.
But if the
methadone... he's got to get up for his, you know, his big performance because he's working on a movie. And then after the movie, he probably goes out drinking.
But if the methadone is like taking 10 Vicodins, would you start your day with the methadone or would you save that as your treat for later in the day?
Like when you're done working.
Right.
Wow. Who the hell knows?
But I mean, it's amazing.
Hold on, here we go.
We got a guy on the phone who's taking Vicodin. Hello? Hello, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're taking Vicodin right now?
No. Well, I was getting ready to tell you that if Matthew Perry takes Vicodin first, then he probably takes
speed, like you said, to calm them down or to pick them up.
Yeah, Mike, you know these people that have been with these gentlemen
Mike,
here.
Micodin makes you drowsy.
I'm gathering that. I
take Vicoprofen, but after he takes a speed, he probably drinks.
What do you take Vicoprofen for?
For toothache. I had a root canal done a while ago, and they gave me, first they gave me Vicoprofen. It's a derivative of Vicodin and Ibuprofen.
Wow.
And that makes you drowsy, too. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe at some point Matthew Perry will just get a pair of pliers and start pulling his teeth out.
Because remember, towards the end we heard those stories about Elvis carving holes in his hands and his feet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, I ought to get some good stuff for this.
Right.
All right. You know, that's the second conversation with. First of all, he'd take the bike.
Jeff from San Jose, California has the order. Jeff, what's the order?
Okay, Bobby, this is what you do. If the methadone is in pill form, you take the methadone and the Vicodin, you wash it down with the booze, because those are going to take a little while to kick in. But the speed kicks in faster, so you take that last, and it just kind of keeps you on a nice, even keel throughout the ride.
So your theory would be that Matthew Perry would take the Vicodin and the methadone at the same time?
Sure.
And drink?
Yeah.
And then he'd take the speed to even himself out?
Right, to keep his eyes open.
Wow. All right. Hold on. Another guy who's an expert on this. Jarrett.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, look, that last dude, he was pretty right on, but you need to save one narcotic for the end of the night. Because once you get all hyped up on that speed, you got to have something to calm down, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'd probably take one thing to sleep.
Right.
I think usually guys, if he's taking speed during the day, at the very end of the night, even if he's drinking.
Wouldn't the booze make you sleep, though?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, the booze, you know, if you got all that many narcotics in you, you probably, I don't know. Booze has always worked for me.
Because it's going to last.
Buzz.
Then maybe you have a few drinks.
Here we are. Here we are talking to all these people on the phone when we are staring at an expert.
We have the pharmacist right next to us.
Buzz, I'm curious. I know that if you mix a depressant and alcohol, it'll lay out flat. What if you mix an alcohol with like speed? What happens then?
It apparently produces a kind of high where you get to stay awake but be chilled out at the same time.
All right, Buzz, what do you think the order is?
You know, I think the last caller was right, that he was washing down the Vicodin and methadone with the booze, and then to stay awake would take the speed after that.
Okay, but then when he's awake, what would he take to go to sleep?
Probably go back to the Vicodin and the methadone and the booze again.
Oh my God!
Wanted to get up and wanted to get. You know, I got a little taste and a little taste of addiction after my third surgery. I was taking one of those.
Yeah, well, they're the same thing.
Yeah, and Jerry Lewis, you know, got addicted to Percocet. I was taking Percodan, and on the third one, it was time to stop taking it. You know, the pain was going away, so I stopped taking the Percodan, and all of a sudden, I was achy. I felt like I had the flu. I hurt all over. It was horrible. So I called the doctor, and I said, what do I do? The only way I know how to make this better is to take the Percodan again. And he said, don't take the Percodan again. Just take ibuprofen. Take Motrin. That will make the aching stop without getting back on the addictive drug. That's what I did, and I lived happily ever after.
Didn't it say that he complained of horrible stomach problems to his doctor, and that's the doctor that sent him into his most recent rehab? Sounds like the same thing, where he said, hey, I gotta have that Vicodin because I'm hurting so bad. What you're doing is you're withdrawing.
Mm-hmm. But he's Matthew Perry. Can't he just, call some other Hollywood... Like, Eminem has Vicodin tattooed on... He has the label tattooed on his arm.
The great role model for humanity.
Couldn't
Eminem.
Matthew Perry just call up Eminem and say, hey, dude, you know, I'm about 60 pills short?
Everybody has it. Courtney Love, who says she was addicted to it at one point, calls it LSD... The LSD standing for lead singer's drug. She says every lead singer in the recording industry now takes Vicodin.
All right, I got a girl who's been taking Vicodin for 3 years. Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been taking it. I get a pain management, and I've had 7 surgeries. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it does take the pain away, but it does make you drowsy, I guess, if you take too many at one time.
And you do get a dependency because you're going to feel pain, really not necessarily from the real pain, but from the withdrawal from the drug.
Absolutely. I wonder how effed up he is when he's doing that show, Friends. I mean, I'm going to have to watch his part in the show a little more closely.
You know, we've seen the dramatic weight fluctuations, mm-hmm. and if he's been in rehab, he's obviously not the first Hollywood star that's been in rehab, but I mean, you know, it's just... you can see the dramatic changes just in the way his body looks.
I think the weight fluctuations were from his very real health problems that got him on the painkillers in the first place. I checked him out in the last edition of Friends that was just on, watching it back on tape and keeping this in mind, and didn't notice any problem with his eyes or his appearance or his performance.
Okay. All right.
Been taking it for a long time, and you never know that they're taking it. That's the drug that Melanie Griffith was on for a long time.
Well, you can tell Melanie Griffith was on something.
Yeah, her.
When she's doing that talk right there.
Oh, when she does her baby talk.
Yeah.
Oh, right. She got two things going for her, and that's all she's got going for her. And they are between her neck and her belly button. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
I got the answer for this problem.
The answer?
Yeah, the schedule for this.
The order. Okay, what's the order?
I used to be addicted to pain medicine for 3 years. What you do is in the morning you take your speed, okay? That carries you through the day. Then before dinner, you have yourself a Vicodin. That makes you a little calm. And then at night, after you drink a lot, you take the
methadone.
The methadone.
Having trouble with these people that have been addicted.
I'm telling you.
Are you still addicted right now?
No, it took me 3 months to get off.
That's good for you.
All right, well, congratulations. Another success story. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello there. Last guy was incorrect. Sounded like Mike.
They're coming out of the woodwork, aren't they?
Here we go.
Who was talking about the pain. First one you're going to do is methadone. Get you better.
What are you on right now?
Heroin, actually.
Are you on heroin right now? All right. So what's the first you would say? You say start with the methadone if you're Matthew Perry. Why?
It gets rid of the sickness from the night before.
All right. Gets rid of the nausea.
All right. So Matthew Perry starts with the meth. What does he go to second?
That would be the speed, so he can go to work and make it through his day.
Right. Go to the set of Friends. Okay. Then would he take anything while he's on the set?
He's still doing his speed.
Oh, he's still on speed. Okay. So let's say now he's done with his grueling day on Friends. What does he go to then?
A couple drinks.
That's a couple of drinks. And then ends his evening with a Vicodin?
Absolutely.
All right, so you maintain the order is speed.
Methadone first.
Oh, methadone, speed, booze, and then Vicodin.
That's it.
All right, so that's the order. Okay, thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
Get some help.
I'll try.
Goodbye.
Everybody has their favorite regimen.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
This is Keith. Yeah, Richard.
It's John and Mike.
Hi, Keith. If only he could call in today. He could give us the order.
Oh, he let us know. No, I bet he couldn't.
Hello, John and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Keith Richards might sound just like all these callers
we
have.
Yeah, not nearly as good.
Hello.
First, I take the...
Hello.
Mick, first, here's what I do. I wake up in the morning and that's a bonus. That's a bonus. That's all I got, mate.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
What can we do for you?
Hello?
Yes, meth clinic, hello.
No, I've been on Vicodin for about 10 years.
Of course you have. Wow. That's why it took you so long to realize you were on the air.
This is true.
Uh-huh.
But if you take too many of those things, you can't even lift your head up. If you take too many Vicodins, you can't even function.
How many have you taken today?
Three.
You have pain? Or are you addicted?
Yes. No, I have chronic pain in my knees. I've had 10 knee surgeries.
Mm-hmm. So you've taken three already today?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that knock you on your ass?
No, it just kind of made. As long as you keep moving, you're okay. And as long as you keep, going about your business. But if you, sit down or lay down, you're done.
Wow. How many do you take on a weekend?
It depends how bad the pain is.
Really? And now, do you feel like you're addicted?
Yeah. To tell you the truth, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
If you want to party, how many do you take in a day?
Oh, if I took four of them, drank a couple of beers, I was set.
But you have real pain. You don't get high off the Vicodin, do you?
No.
This is what I've discovered about painkillers, the prescription kind. If you have real pain, you don't get high off
of
it.
Yeah, but
a painkiller goes to the pain.
But isn't there...
But if you have no pain and you take a painkiller...
Isn't there a certain gray area, though, between real pain and artificial pain?
And that's the slippery slope. Yeah.
I mean, if I was you and I had knee surgery and 10 years later it still hurt...
Right, he said 10 knee surgeries.
Yeah. Well, I would go back to the doctor and say, you're not doing the surgery right.
Right.
That's true. Well, remember, Brett Favre had the problem, too, if you read his book.
Oh, you know what? That's right. Brett Favre was another Vicodin guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was taking them and throwing them back up and then picking them out of his vomit
and popping them again.
Oh, that's true. I read his book. That's true.
Oh, wow.
All right, guys. Love the show. Take care.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks. Mark Florenzo.
It will fascinate you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Are you on Vicodin?
Yeah, I was on Vicodin. I pierced both my ears.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Thank you very much. Yeah, but he did it with a set of keys.
So are you
I didn't feel a thing. I just couldn't feel anything, and I pierced one of them, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pierce the other one.
Wait a minute. You really, hold on. You really pierced your own ears with what?
With an earring. I just sharpened the end of a hoop earring, stuck it through. I came out of the bathroom, and I had three earrings in my ears. My parents freaked out.
And you did that because your ears were numb because you'd taken Vicodin?
Yeah, and I wasn't. Teeth pulled when I was 18, and it was a major surgery. They gave me a whole bottle of it, so.
You know, I have my wisdom teeth. I have my wisdom teeth pulled. I had a dry socket. And the doctor gave me Tylenol.
Yeah, I didn't get nothing either.
I mean, really, I was in a lot of pain, but I mean, I didn't get any of this. Really, doctors ought to think twice about laying this stuff on people because I mean, it sounds like it's powerful.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, it's Mark again. Hey, that other guy had the order just right. He said methadone and speed, because the methadone treats the addiction.
You mean methadone?
Methadone.
So it's methadone, you're turning it into like a Power Rangers character.
It's methadone, then speed,
right.
Then booze, then the Vike.
Right.
In my day, it was a leather bullwhip handle between your teeth.
Hello. Not Mike Show.
Hey.
You're with Babe.
Hey.
I've been taking Percocet and Vicodin for the last 2 years. Very much addicted to
him. All right, listen, let me ask you this. You're not a Hollywood star. I mean, I can understand how Matthew Perry would get it. How do you keep getting it?
One thing you can do is you can go around and hit different doctors.
In the head?
You can go from one doctor to another, you know, tell them that you're in pain and just go to different doctors. And, you know, hopefully if you hit five or six doctors in a day, you know, three of those six will give you something.
So you mean you'll actually spend your day going like to six different doctors with the hopes that three of them will give you a prescription for Vicodin?
I have done it many times.
Let me ask you a question. What do you do? I mean, how do the doctors that turn you down, do they recognize you got a problem? Do they ask you questions where they can identify that you might have an addiction?
Yeah. Some of them know what you're doing, and they basically kick you out of the office.
Do they ever try to help you?
And some of them, you know, will offer you help and say that I think that you're addicted to this. You really should get some help. You know, and they'll ask you how long you've been taking it, and you tell them. And
so what, in your head, you just say to them, F you, and you just... Now, how do you find the doctors? You just go in the phone book?
Usually if you go into, like, a walk-in clinic... A walk-in clinic usually has doctors that aren't as, I guess you could say, you know, as smart as normal doctors are. And it's a lot easier, to pull something over on them.
All right.
It will fascinate you,
the normal doctor.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
I guess I'll say about methadone.
Yeah, what about methadone?
Methadone, I am finally ready to get off all this, and I just started a methadone treatment. And methadone blocks the effect of any drug that you take. That's part of the reason that they use it to get people off of heroin and prescription painkillers and stuff like that.
So if you're taking methadone, if you try to take a Vicodin, it's not going to have the same effect if you're on methadone.
Exactly. And that's why I don't understand these people that are calling in. I know this from personal experience. And that's the reason they use it. So if
Matthew Perry's one of the people who's taking Vicodin and methadone at the same time.
Right. If he takes the methadone, he's probably taking the methadone at night. He's probably taking it as the last thing of the day, because if he were to take that at the beginning of the day, anything else he takes during the day, I don't know about alcohol, but I do know that any other pills that you take will not affect you anywhere near as much as they normally would if you took them without any methadone in your
system. All right. Hold on. We got one more guy who says everybody's got it wrong. Wrong or right? Is it wrong or right? Peter?
Yes.
Does everybody have it wrong or right?
They got it wrong. The last guy was somewhat correct. But methadone only blocks at certain doses. Believe me, I've done everything you can name.
That sounds like it.
I believe it.
Percodan is stronger than Vicodin, but they're very similar. What he's doing is taking everything simultaneously.
How much?
You know why? Because the mixture, if he took just the narcotics, which methadone is an analgesic narcotic, and so is Vicodin, he would be too sleepy to do his job. So he takes the speed with it, so he gets the buzz, but he's awake enough not for people to be too aware of his condition.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Guy was about 6'4 and 18 pounds.
Jesus H. Christ.
America, we know our drugs.
Wow, that's
hello.
Sure.
Donna Mike.
Hey, Donna Mike. My name's Dan. I'm down here in Milton, Delaware, listening on 96 Rock.
Right. Hi, Dan.
I just wanted to let you guys know, I don't think you figured out the big picture, but it seems to me like half your audience is a bunch of drug addicts.
I believe that most people listening today are on Vicodin, right?
I can't believe it. That's all I hear is I do this, and I'm on crack, and I'm on this, and then, yeah. Man, everybody, all these drug addicts sure do have a lot of information about all the drugs that you guys about.
You realize that this is the same pool of listeners that couldn't figure out the game Mystery Guest, and yet we've gotten like six dissertations on analgesics.
Absolutely, yes, sir. America, home of the combustion engine and anything that'll get you effed up. But I want to say this. They did help us get the order correct.
Hell yeah, all the goddamn drug addicts are just coming out of the woodwork here.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Don't
thank
judge them, sir.
Thank you very much. What was that fun?
I said, don't judge them, sir.
God.
Sometimes doctors are responsible for that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, here's a pharmacist. Larry.
Yes, sir.
Larry, you're a pharmacist.
Larry, what are all these people doing on Vicodin?
Vicodin helps your senses, and what it does is it calms you down and it stops pain in an area where you're having pain. The nerve endings, it goes directly to your nerves, and it stops the pain for those nerves. That's what Vicodin is for.
You know what? I really hurt my knee the other night when I fell down.
You did?
You really?
Yeah,
I really did.
Okay.
You know, a better drug for all the drug
addicts. Have your wife give you a nice massage.
You know, a don't worry. Drug, OxyContin.
Oh, that's a big one.
Well, what is that one?
OxyContin.
Buzz knows what that. What the hell is that?
Am I the only one who thinks the pharmacist sounds stoned? Are you on any prescription medication right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Of course.
Listen,
of course.
That, please.
I was just wanted to ask the pharmacist before we went how popular Ativan was in the Hollywood community, because I know it's bringing up third,
mm-hmm.
and that's my flight medication. I just want to know how that is.
Oh, that's your tranquilizer?
Yeah, and I was just curious if it's anywhere near the others. Because it was third. It was mentioned in one article this week. It was, like, behind the other two.
Mr. Drugger?
He's gone.
Oh.
He's gone.
But didn't he sound like, why are you hanging me?
Yeah, he was high, too.
I tell you right now, it gets to the nerve. Pharmacy closed at 4.
This is Keith.
Yeah,
Rich is the Donna Mike. There you go.
Mr. Gower.
There's the pharmacist.
Your pharmacist on duty, Mr. Richards.
We live in a very frantic society, and everybody's just trying to cope.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hi.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm on Vicodin. As a matter of fact, I'm on Vicodin ES. I've been taking it since 92.
Vicodin ES? What's that coming on? A different package?
No, it's extra strength.
Oh, my God. Vicodin ES?
Yeah.
After all we've heard, they need an extra strength?
7.5 milligrams instead of 500 milligrams.
How do you get Vicodin ES?
Easy. You just, like, I was on it so long that it just didn't do no good. So finally they upgraded me to a higher dose.
I'm also on Robaxin.
They also got me on an antidepressant, which is not for depression. It's for sleep. And I'm also taking Robaxin, which is methylcarbonol. That's 750 milligrams.
What is
Hello.
What is your pain? Why are you getting all this
back
stuff?
Back pain. I was in a car accident when I was younger, and I re-injured by moving a fountain.
Well, I mean, back pain, I shouldn't diminish that. Back pain is some of the worst pain you can ever be in.
Yeah, but
I can't even move today, and I'm taking A today. I have been for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, do you understand that might not be helping your back pain?
No, the doctor tells me all the time, but she said that she can't take me off of it.
How many have you taken today?
Six.
Okay. Well, that's double the last guy who had only taken three today.
Is there anything they can do for you surgically?
Hello?
He's gone.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, my name is Jason. I'm calling from my cell phone from Blaine. I had more to say about methadone because I worked with a co-teacher when I was doing child care, and this lady was messed up. She would come in speeding out through the beginning of the week, and when she ran out of her methadone, she'd be going to sleep like all the freaking time. It was no good.
Wow.
Okay, thank you.
It was no good.
It was no good, man.
Yeah, doctors aren't over-medicating in this country.
It was bogus. Mm. All right, well, I think we've had some of our Matthew Perry questions answered.
That's for sure.
The most important was the order.
Well, and I don't think we'll ever know for sure, because there was a little controversy as far as the order, but, you know, I think we can all agree Matthew Perry a little effed up. Hope he gets help and gets straightened out.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just watched a good movie that other night, the one where Bruce Willis is the gangster?
Right.
What is it, Rob?
The Whole Nine Yards.
The Whole Nine Yards. He's funny.
He's very funny in that movie. That's where he's the next door neighbor of Bruce Willis.
Where he walks into the sliding glass door and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very funny guy, and it's, you know, it's a lot of guys. I mean, you go back to Belushi and all
how
that.
How come the ostrich guy from Friends couldn't be hooked on drugs?
Yeah like David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer, that's the guy. God, I hate that guy.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, if you went over the cast of Friends and you said, who's the funniest guy? He's going away, it's Matthew Perry. He's the funniest cast member, and it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame this stuff happens.
Here we come out of to Ross, David Schwimmer.
You know, I was listening the other day in the car to the old Blues Brothers album, and you listen to Belushi on that, and he's just funny on that. He's funny when he's introducing the band, and it's just
hold on.
It's a shame. He was all effed up.
I got to get a sense that Matthew Perry was all effed up when he was making that movie that I liked. Hello, Rob?
Yeah.
How do you know Matthew Perry was effed up when they were making that movie?
I just saw it the other night. I just rented it again.
Yeah?
And you could see his eyes. He looks like you could be staring right in front of him, and he was, like, looking right through people.
Oh, and speaking of somebody who's messed up still, did anybody watch the TV Guide Awards with Robert Downey?
Don't say the S word.
Yeah, but I mean, I would love to get an expert's opinion, because I'll tell you, I don't know, but I was looking at Robert Downey Jr. I think they were doing a little tribute to David Kelly. Is it David E. Kelly, the producer?
Mm-hmm. They should just do like a tribute to Vicodin on those shows.
He wasn't doing Vicodin. But there was something going on, because he was so jittery, and he did a lot of the...
Well, didn't we
you know where he had the chalky mouth? I think he's continuously effed up.
Didn't we think he was effed up between the beginning and the end of the Emmy Awards?
Yeah, absolutely. You would think that a guy like Robert Downey Jr., who for so long has said, hey, I'm fine, everything's okay, people have watched him, and then he still gets into trouble, he's probably got methods of getting his stuff that that we don't even know about.
So you think Matthew Perry was effed up during that movie?
Oh, yeah. You can tell. Go ahead and look at it again.
You know,
there's scenes where you can really tell where he was much more coherent than other scenes.
If that's the case, I would tell the guy to keep taking it.
But no.
I'm telling you, I think he was funny in that movie.
Yes, but it'll eventually kill him, though.
But it will bring me great entertainment joy if he can continue making movies.
So you're saying a good 2 years of entertainment for you, and then if he falls off the face of the earth, c'est la vie.
I've got the movie forever.
That's right, okay.
I've got a lifetime of memories with that
movie. A personal friend of yours, I guess. That's
not a lot of physical comedy.
So, what?
I mean, he's always falling down and stuff.
I mean, you go back and you look at it, and if you really trace the funny men, you know, guys that have done comedy movies, I mean, Chevy Chase, when he was funny, when he was doing the vacation movies, he was apparently, you know, doing all those narcotics.
Well, he says that he had to do it when he would be Gerald Ford.
Right.
And he would fall down on Saturday
because
Night Live.
Because he was so in pain from doing the prep
rise. From his great physical comedy.
Please. Right. I mean, we all know that's a cop.
We agree on that.
You know, I fell doing Gerald Ford, please. I mean, I'm sure he had like a fistful of Vicodin.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
Yeah, I want to tell you a story. I took a few Vicodin and went to Bob Dylan and Phil West's show, and I thought I was going to have a good time. I started drinking. I drank too much, and I got separated from my friends. And at the end of the show, the last thing I remember was I'm starting to nod off in the stands, and I'm going, I got to keep myself alive. I got to keep myself awake. I'm going to lose my friends. And I thought I was ODing. But I ended up blowing chow in the parking lot.
Good.
All right, thank you, Matthew.
I thought it was a lovely story.
That was Matthew Perry, everybody, live from rehab.
Thank you, Matthew.
Loved you in the Whole Nine Yards. I didn't tell you were effed up in that movie. That's a very funny movie. It's with Bruce Willis, where he plays...
is that it, the Whole Nine Yards?
Yeah, the one where Bruce Willis is the contract killer.
Bruce Willis is funny in that movie.
Yeah, not bad.
To the best of my knowledge, Bruce Willis has not been addicted to painkillers.
I just read something about Bruce Willis.
Oh, no.
No, what did I read? He stopped drinking.
Okay.
You know, never believe anybody when they have to come out and publicly announce that they stopped doing something.
That's for sure.
Right. Amen. I'm looking in the mirror when I say that. Okay. All right. That's enough. Now, the quote from Bruce Willis was, I realized I'm 45 and I can't drink anymore.
So that's about the time that happens, I think.
Because he ain't drinking anymore.
It hurts you a little more when you're 45.
I guess.
It hurts you more when you're 30, Rob. It hurts you more and more as time goes on.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Hey, we got you some Vicodin in the other room for your birthday.
Right.
Happy birthday. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
Clown porn aficionados, Don and Mike.
Ready for the guy who burned his hands off on Survivor coming up here.
He's also the guy that killed the pig.
Right. Mike, that's his name, but he's not on the phone now. You know, I don't know why they do this to us. They say, you got to be absolutely on time. Mm-hmm. Well, here he is.
Okay, all right, I take it back.
Joining us now from Survivor 2... Here's the dude who burned his hands off, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Mike, listen, I imagine that you've been through all the dog and pony shows thus far. We're going to ask you all the same crap that you've already been asked, because we can't help it. I mean, we're both naturally curious about this, like everybody else is in the country.
You guys watch the show?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. Everybody did. First, let me ask you about that kazoo that they gave you.
The green kazoo.
Yes, what was in that kazoo?
It was, I've been told by some firefighters since then that it's a medication that actually helps repair any tissue damage that was done to the lungs through the smoke inhalation.
Oh.
It also anesthetizes the pain.
Yeah, somebody said it was like a morphine inhaler.
It's not morphine. I did ask. It's not actually morphine, but it's, you know, some related, something in that family.
Because you were screaming your head off, and then the next thing, you were just saying, I love everybody, and you wanted to find everybody. The main question we had for you was, and this wasn't shown on television, and I know that they're probably going to sell it in a DVD or a videotape, but how did you fall into the fire?
You know, I have a fire pit in my backyard, and I make 30 or 40 fires a year. I mean, I definitely am an experienced, you know, fire builder, but I've never inhaled smoke by a fire. And I was blowing on the fire, and we were in a canyon of sorts, and as the smoke was billowing out of there, as the new fire was starting, the wind suddenly changed directions, and as I was breathing in, the smoke went right in my lungs, and I stood up real quickly, and firefighters have since then told me that the smoke from a fire will displace any oxygen you have in your body, and it's very common to pass out from smoke.
So it was concluded by the people that treated you and the firefighters you've spoken to that it was solely the smoke was there. I mean, you were in better shape than a lot of people that were playing the game. You don't think it was a fatigue factor or any other factors were at play when you went down?
You know, I thought at first that it was fatigue and dehydration and the lack of sleep, and you know that probably had a factor on it too. I mean, if I was 100%, would that small amount of smoke inhalation have been a factor? I don't know, but you know, I've never passed out in my life before that, and I haven't since then. So, I mean, I'm sure it was a combination of everything.
How are your hands now?
I'm back to doing everything I used to do. I had a bare-handed snowball fight with my kids the other day. I'm playing hockey and basketball, and I just started baseball yesterday.
You know, when I watched you on that show, there's similarities between you and the winner, Richard Hatch. I'm not going to say you look gay, but I'll tell you right now.
Mike.
But I'll tell you, the similarities are you seem to me to be both an out-front guy as far as the competition and also a controversial figure, and I got the impression from watching you, because you brought a lot to the table, you had a strong personality, that you would hang in there for a long time. Did you figure that you know, I guess you have to have a winning attitude, but you had to figure your chances were pretty good if you'd been able to stay there.
You know, I had a definite game plan.
I had a game plan. Kobe and I had been doing a little bit of talking at the challenges, and we were both looking very forward to the head-on-head competition between him and I, and there was a respect for him and I there, and I had a plan to go right after Keith and, you know, form that Michigan alliance, and I was pretty tight with Roger and Elizabeth, and I really felt that I had as good a chance as anybody to make it into the final round.
How much of a rush did you get killing that pig?
You know, it wasn't about the rush. You know, and of course, when you're... I was absolutely obsessed with hunger.
And you can't say it wasn't a rush. You took the blood and you wiped it on your face.
Yeah,
and
that's where the people have a lot of problems.
I loved it. I loved it.
If you listen to my words at that time, my tribe wanted me to go tell the other tribe at the next challenge that we'd got the pig, and I was trying to talk them out of it because I didn't really want them to know that catching a pig was even attainable. So, you know, my words as I was doing that, I said, this is how we should show up to the next immunity challenge. You know, instead of me wearing my war paint, I thought I would, you know, we should all show up wearing a little bit of pig blood. It was just a, you know, it was just as a joke. It wasn't really for any effect. Well, I didn't really realize how serious the world would take it.
What would you say to some of the folks that have kind of made you the poster boy for animal cruelty right now? Obviously, you probably
have to man's got
to
eat.
You've got to deal with a little bit of that. What would you say to them?
I would say that I can tell you absolutely for a fact that pig was killed way more humanely than anything you see at your local supermarket shelf.
That's a good answer.
Now, let me ask you this. Which smelled worse, the slaughtered pig or Kimmy?
Oh, God. Oh, that's fun. You might, this is a very interesting point that most of us hopefully will never, ever, ever get a chance to you know, do a study on. But we, for 15 days, we didn't brush our teeth. We didn't have soap, we didn't have shampoo, and nobody stunk, and nobody had bad breath. I think it has to do with the food that we eat over here. Kimmy wasn't smelly, she was just filthy.
She was dirty, like you said, you could see the dirt on her neck and everything like
right,
that.
Right, I think she was afraid of the snakes and the crocodiles in the water, and once in a while, if you went into the shallow, fast-moving streams, you'd get leeches on yourself, and, I mean, it wasn't the on Golden Pond that we might have here in the States. But if you went into the sandy parts of the river, it was definitely very clean water.
You know, I got to ask you, when I see that show, and I love that show, I mean, I think it is, as far as a reality program, they broke the mold. That is the definitive reality program, and I think it works, and it's going to be around for a long time. But I always wonder when I'm watching that show, with all those cameras around, and you guys are hungry, you're dirty, you haven't had food, you know, you're cold, you're damp, do you ever just get that moment where those camera crews are around where you just want to wig out and deck a camera guy, even though you know the rules going in?
You know, they have a city. There's 250 people in their setup. I mean, they've got a pretty, you know, they're under very strict rules. They can't talk to us. They can't associate with us. They can't eat in front of us, they'd be fired instantly.
Wow.
So they almost blend in with the scenery like a tree. I mean, you can't, there's no interaction with them. Now, once in a while, they'd walk by and you'd smell aftershave or soap or shampoo or whatever, you know, smelling substance. And I even looked at them one time and I said, listen, you can smell as good as you want, but if you pull the sandwich out of your pocket right now, it'd just about kill me.
You ever want to deck that host?
You're not going to believe this, but when I watched the first show, I thought he was a little bit annoying when he said, the tribe has spoken, you must leave immediately. And he kind of annoyed me. I got to tell you, he is such a tremendous guy. If you ever got a chance to meet him one-on-one, he is a class act. He really is.
Well, that's interesting you say that after your experience.
And listen, we only have 1 minute left because they're whoring this guy out to a million stations.
Sure, of course.
So,
but you guys were first, right?
Yes. Do you have any aspirations like the douchebags from the first show to actually go and be a star? I mean, you're not going to be like that Sean guy who went on the show extra to be a doctor. Yeah. Are you happy doing what you do in real life?
You know, I'm going to take this experience and what I've started. I'm starting in 2 weeks at the first school. Is I've started a war on addiction. And I'm going into the middle schools and high schools in Detroit, and then hopefully I can spread it nationwide. And I'm going to try and we're shifting the focus on the supply of drugs to the demand. And if we can stop these kids from wanting the drugs to begin with, we're hoping that we can make a difference. And I think I owe it back to society to give something back, and that's what I'm going to do.
No, start with Matthew Perry. And last question: when you had to have a BM, Where did you go to take a crap?
You know, that, you know, surprisingly enough, when you don't eat for 3 days and you're getting, you know, a handful of rice in the morning and a half of fish in the afternoon, that's not really an issue.
Really?
It's just not happening.
Did you have a BM when you were there, though?
Yeah, we did have a hole in the ground that we dug, and when we run the chickens, we used one of the chicken coops, and we made a seat out of it, and day by day, we would build these walls up, and we actually had a pretty comfortable facility.
Nice little latrine.
Nice comfortable facility.
I have to get this one in before you go. The guy that you caught pleasuring himself out there, what's the deal with that? We've heard those stories that have been circulating around. Did that really happen?
He was in the other tribe.
Oh, he's in the other tribe? Bummer.
You know, the first time I heard about that rumor was when I saw the show, too, so.
Okay.
I can't verify that either way. Hard to believe that that happened because I'm telling you, you don't out there. You're starving. You're cold. You're tired. It's just not happening out there.
All right, listen. Go do your 1,000 other interviews.
Great job, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming.
Mike. Great talking to you guys.
Thank you. Bye bye. Well, there he is. The last guy kicked off the other. Not kicked off.
No. Yeah, you got the fell in the
burned
fire.
Off. Burned his hands.
I was really looking forward to talking to him because he does have the gift of gab. The guy can't answer a lot of questions. And he's, he was really one of the strongest personalities on the show.
A lot of people thought he would win, Michael Scoopin.
Now, a lot of people think that creep Colby's going to win.
Yeah.
Or as it refers to him, tonight when I watch the show, if he refers to himself as the Colbster, I swear to God, I'm going to punch my television out. Have you heard him do that yet?
No, I haven't.
He's a big one on the third person with, well, the Colbster's got to get the situation under control.
He's the tall guy, right, that gets the back rubs from Jerry, right?
Right.
Colby may be a lot of things, but Colby ain't no Hershey bar.
That's
what he said.
Yeah. I don't think Colby is as bright as Mike. I mean, I think anybody who watches the show knows that.
All right, well, thank you to Mike. What's the hell's the guy's like that?
Scoopin'.
Mike Scoopin'.
They were scooping him out of the fire.
Yeah. From Survivor. You know, and why? I don't get this. CBS has got like 1,000 shows that are tanking.
Right.
In which they could feed us interviews from. The one show that they've got that everybody watches.
Sure.
That's the show they supply us with interviews for.
Everybody likes a winner.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Thank you. Survivor, like I have to tell you, it's on tonight. Although they want me to tell you, Survivor's on tonight at 8 o'clock. Like you didn't know it already.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, in case you didn't know. Well, some of those Vicodin people.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Steve.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, I'm a little upset with you guys.
Why much? Have a nice day.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for lying to our screener.
There he goes.
You coward.
Run away like the coward that you are.
Coward.
There you go.
It says on the screen, Steve from San Luis Obispo wants to yell at us for supporting the guy for killing the pig.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't really do that. I mean, he killed the pig. And,
I did.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I loved it.
I didn't. You know what? I actually didn't see it until I saw the post thing where they showed a little bit of it.
The highlight of the show.
I didn't see the whole thing.
That guy has brought me the two greatest moments on the show. He killed a pig.
Right.
And he burned his hands off.
Now, if he killed it with a gun, you'd have a totally different feeling about it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he did it with a knife and he's on an island and, you know.
It's like you said, you gotta eat.
And frankly, listen, I think he was lying when he said he didn't enjoy it. You should have seen the guy. I mean, he stabbed him, and then he took the blood and, like, was putting it all over his face.
It's interesting what he says about more humanely than some of the stuff you see in the supermarkets. From what I've read about that, he might be right about that also.
All right, so yes, I'll say it again. Survivor. It's on tonight, 8 o'clock, in case Helen Keller is listening and didn't get that.
On CBS.
Survivor tonight. Thank you, Mike. Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a f***ing gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Just like four solid hours of prostate manipulation.
Right.
The John and Mike Show.
Right.
Yeah.
Robbie's birthday?
Yeah. Multi-girl sex show coming right up.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Okay, guys, check this out.
What?
That girl that talked to you guys about the growth growing?
Yes.
That is true, man. My girl has A cup. Right now, she's up to a B. And? Man, it's getting there. I'm telling you.
Is your girlfriend... Tell me something, Chico. Is your girlfriend taking new bus?
I don't really know what exactly it is, but some company from Texas that got her by mail. She got the
that would be that would be our company. Pills. That's our contest. In case you're just tuning in late, we had Dr. Angela Harris on in the first part of the show.
Very nice lady.
She's invented... She tried to... Well, she did cure her own cancer using herbal medicines. While she cured her own cancer, she found that she had stumbled upon the formula
right
to make women's breasts grow.
She claims thousands of success stories.
So we're looking for five women, five flat-chested women with scrambled eggs from our audience.
Right.
And we're going to give those five women the chance.
Fried eggs.
What did I say?
Scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs, yeah.
Fried
eggs. Scrambled eggs, we don't want to see them.
No, that wouldn't be pretty at all.
No, but if they look like fried eggs.
Right.
We want you to come down, get on the program, take the pills for 3 months.
As the doctor said, especially if you are the woman in your family who has the smallest breast.
Right.
Because if it runs in your family that women have normal to larger breasts and you don't have them, then you've got a better shot at it.
But the doctor also said that if you've had a kid,
right,
and your boobs are all shrinky now
and saggy, that's this can tone you up, firm you up a little bit.
So if you're interested, call us. At least a couple of the girls that called earlier in the show are definitely in.
Good.
Good. Coming down to be photographed and to be measured.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa, our very own Lisa, is definitely in.
Right. Wow.
So we got room for at least a couple more girls. Girls with small boobs. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
One more thing.
Yes.
You saw Seven last night?
What? Come again?
Seven. Voyager.
Oh,
Star
Trek? No, I don't watch Voyager anymore. You talking about Seven of Nine?
Man, that was a major boob.
Yeah, she's got major boobs.
Fantastic. Oh,
cool. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling from New York.
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's like open and empty going on. I wish you guys were on live.
Well, someday in another universe. You know what, douchebag? Hey, douchebag.
He's gone like the wind, and, you know, I'd love to share with that individual that he didn't get on the radio.
The number of your last incoming call was 7188.
Get the number. I think I waited on hold for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
To say something that we're not allowed to say on the radio. For 1 hour.
All right, we're going to see if we can call him back. One hour, what patience.
Just to try to F with us.
You're sending us some kind of signal.
Oh, I have to enter a long distance code? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, that's the new thing.
There.
Yeah, the new thing.
All right, I'll do it on one of the other lines.
The new deal.
Was that the code, Rob?
A code.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Okay, hold on.
Let's see what happens.
Now I'm going to get the beep.
Oh, I'm busy. No,
never. We'll call him back.
Yep.
Or maybe you guys could just call him at area code 718. Don't delete that out, incidentally, please. The guy was a... You know you have to. Well, if I say it a million times, eventually the delay is going to run out. I just tried to tell the guy's phone number, and they just deleted it out.
We can't do that.
Don't tell me let it go. Don't talk to me in my headphones.
We are sorry. Private calls are not accepted by this number. To complete your call, hang up, pick up again.
All right, I'll try one more time. Damn, it's not fair. I'll be damned.
You were very, very Christopher Walken-ish there.
Ah.
There's a ring.
Well, he used some rather salty language, so we're going to probably have to hit the delay again.
No problem. We'll just call him back.
Why don't we... You should do... You ready? Is the delay ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should give him a preemptive strike, because that's what he's going to give you.
All he said was hello.
Right? It didn't sound like the same guy. It sounded like a machine.
It sounded like a machine, and it did not sound like the same guy at all.
I mean, the guy waits on hold 1 hour.
Just to say F you.
Yeah.
That's an annoying new tone that we have to deal with. The phone is taking a tone with us.
I am giving the tone. I'm giving the tones to the tone.
The code. You're entering the code.
Christ.
Enter the dragon.
Oh, you know, why they insist on putting these goddamn systems in?
They do it to save money. Because this corporation is interested in saving money, Arthur.
Right, because CBS makes no money.
Right.
Because they're doing so bad, hat in hand.
Now, how come we're not getting the tone again? Is that phone taking a tone with us?
Are you taking a tone with me?
I think Sipowicz got to go pinch a loaf.
All right, hold on. I'll just try another line.
This will all be fine. Once Rob gets his cell phone up and running. All our problems will disappear miraculously.
Right.
Do you realize now that even to make a long distance call on the request lines, you have to put a... Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm on now is the request line.
Yes, Arthur. Yeah. You're going to be a wealthy man for the rest of your life.
No, if I just gave the numbers out one at a time during the show, no one would know. So we'll get an answering machine. Good, we'll leave him a message.
Maybe he's just holding the phone up to a radio. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. He knows you're calling.
Hey, Rob, here. Just pick it up. Let me know when he gets done playing his disco music.
Line was that, number 4?
Line 4, the line on hold. Hello.
And just as soon as he picks up, if anybody says hello, Rob, give him an F you.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're going to beat this guy.
Hello. He hung up already.
Yeah.
Already he hung up. Well, I want to tell you something. If I was going to play the lottery today, the first two numbers I'd play would probably be 71.
71.
Those are my lucky numbers right now.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Happy birthday, Mr. Spiewak.
Is this your guy, Mike?
Happy birthday,
Mike,
Mr. Spiewak. Happy birthday, Mr. Spiewak. You've got a giant friggin' head. Love you, Mike.
There he goes.
Nice.
You know, when John Mackey, the great tight end, played for the Colts, I believe his number was 88.
I believe. You know, telling you to let something go is the quickest way to guarantee it in stone that you're not going to let it go.
That was the big effort, waits on hold for 1 hour. You know, and I would have let go what he said. He didn't even say anything that was...
No, he said the F word, and then we couldn't let it on the...
Yeah. Please. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Tell me, every red-blooded American man wouldn't be on downers if he had to work next to Jennifer Aniston every day. I mean, come on, the guy's got to do something.
What are you, a homo?
No,
I would be high on
his urges.
You'd want to be at your all-time best. You wouldn't want to have anything weighing you down.
I would think you take all that stuff that Matthew Perry takes. It would inhibit his ability to get a boner.
I'm saying he probably had to, otherwise he'd walk around with one all the time on that show.
I don't know. You know who I'd like to ask about it, though?
No.
The great Lawrence Taylor. Number 56.
You think he took a few?
From the New York Giants. And about the Giants?
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I wonder how much of this they're deleting. Okay. Rob just told the guy, F you.
Happy birthday.
Okay, you just got
happy
through
happy birthday.
You just got through to him. So I don't know what I said actually got through on the air.
Mm.
Did any of my veiled references get through?
I think at least some of it is missing.
Some's missing?
Yeah.
Before I was born? 59?
Oh, 59.
Those are all good numbers. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hey, come on.
30 to you.
Somebody's got to be a rocket scientist to figure out this code with the numbers.
You smell like a monkey. You look like one.
Share lady? Share lady?
Is this the share lady?
Ah, she hung up also. A lot of hanging up going on.
Sure is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I don't really have anything to tell him. I just wanted to...
We're here with you, sir.
I'm here from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay, that's a shock. You're talking to us. Hi, it's us.
So when you say you don't know what to tell them, you're speaking to us.
Oh, hi, Don.
Hi. Yes, Don and Mike, hi.
What's up, brother?
Hi.
How you doing?
Love and life. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to hear a familiar voice. I'm in Manassas from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Driving a truck?
No, sir. I'm here. I'm working.
You're working. What brings you up to our area?
Telecommunications work.
Well, if you wanted to hear a familiar voice, why didn't you just turn the radio on?
Well, I was in my car just a minute ago, and I come up in my room.
You come up in your room and you don't have a radio in there?
No, sir.
So you just thought you'd give us a call?
Yes, sir.
Because you don't have any friends on the road. You're up here all the way from Lafayette and you wanted to call a couple of people you knew.
Right.
There you go. All right, I understand that.
All right,
I mean, Don and Mike, I mean, y'all my partners, you know?
Okay, if you say so, gotcha.
That's terrific.
Thank you. Are you a married man?
No, sir.
Looking to get laid tonight?
Yeah, I would.
What hotel you staying at?
Super 8 in Manassas.
Super 8 in Manassas.
Yes, sir.
Ladies, there's a hot guy from Lafayette over at the Super 8 in Manassas. Is there a little lounge there?
No, sir.
Is there any lounge close by?
Next door to Best Western.
Best Western.
Okay, yeah. Well, if any women in the Manassas area want to meet you, what time will you be at the lounge at the Best Western?
Well, I can be there by about 6 or 7.
I knew it would be. So about 50 minutes from now, you'll be in the lounge at the Best Western.
Yes, sir.
That'd be fantastic. And can you describe yourself?
Yes, yes. How will the women know it's you?
I'll have a black Nike cap on.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're going to have to be more specific. That's very common around here.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Oh, I don't really know. Nobody's ever told me.
Are you a smoker?
Yes, sir.
I thought so.
You could tell, huh?
Do you have any facial hair?
No, sir. Yeah, I have a mustache, yes. I'm sorry.
You have a mustache.
Yes.
You know who I bet he looks like? That NASCAR driver.
Dale Earnhardt?
No, not the dead one. No, the, who's the STP
Richard
guy?
Petty.
Richard Petty.
Yeah, I was thinking, that is absolutely perfect.
Do you look like Richard Petty?
I don't think so.
Well, can you describe yourself to us?
Do you look like that pitcher, what's his name, Randy Martin?
Oh, no, you mean the guy with the bad skin, Randy Johnson?
Randy Johnson. You look like him?
Randy.
No.
I don't follow sports.
I know you don't.
Bag, Rob.
No,
I know what's a pretty pitcher, though.
But listen, if any girls want to get laid tonight, they should go to the Best Western in Manassas, the lounge, look for the guy with the black Nike cap on.
And a mustache.
And a mustache.
Are you a brother?
No, sir.
Okay, can you give us any more?
You didn't know this guy was white?
I didn't know. Sometimes you can't tell with the Louisiana accent. I'm trying to figure out now.
Hopelessly white.
You're hopelessly white. Are you a thin man?
Yes, sir.
You're very thin.
Not very thin, but thin.
Thin. Yeah. So you got an athletic build?
No, no, not really. Kind of a small build.
And what would you like from a woman? Would you like tonight? Would you like intercourse? Hand relief?
Someone to chat with.
Somebody to chat.
Oh, good answer.
Smart answer.
Smart answer.
Somebody to smoke a cigarette with?
If they want to.
Do you like, does the idea of a woman smoker turn you off?
No.
Not at all.
Really?
Because we've got a lot of heavy smokers in our audience.
All right, well, listen, you go over to the Best Western Lounge at 6 o'clock and call us if any chicks come up and say hello to you.
Okay.
Would you like to give us a call from the Best Western?
What time did the show end at 7 o'clock here, right?
Yes, right.
It ended at 6 back home, yeah.
Yes. Yes, call us and let us know what's going on.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to urge all of our horny female listeners to go on over to the Best Western Motel in Manassas to the lounge.
Put on your cleanest T-shirt.
And you know, meet this guy and perhaps sleep with him tonight, lay with him.
Well, I mean, look at all the hotel rooms that they're around. Mm. He's at the Super 8. They're in the Best Western. My God. I mean, there are lots of beds.
Mm-hmm. It's F City. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
So you do have a couple of friends here.
Yeah, I'm glad I do.
Hold on. I've got a girl who wants to meet you.
Excellent.
Hold on. There you go. Hello.
Hey. can I paint him with my DNA?
No, he doesn't want. He wants a girl.
No. Yeah, thank you.
Come on, you don't. Come on, let me give you a stab in the ass.
No, stop that.
Virginia style.
I love that. Paint you with my DNA.
No.
He's not interested.
My God, I tell you, it's a feast today.
That's my statement of the day.
That's your statement of the day. Well, douchebag.
Hey,
douchebag, your statement of the day never got on the air.
There you go. Hallelujah. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'm not hanging up, scumbag.
Yeah, and then, you know, Chris, no surprise that this guy wanted to give the other guy a stab in the ass.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're a fan of that other radio show. No wonder you're a fag.
That other radio show. Are you too much of a pussy to say what it is?
I am not allowed to say what it is.
Oh, you're not allowed? Why would you not be allowed?
You know where our offices are? They're at 10800 Main Street. It's easy to hide behind a telephone, sir.
Yeah, come on down.
Please, I'll come down there and give you both a stab in the ass.
You come right down. Come right down into our lobby.
When I come down there and kick your ass.
Come on down.
Can I go over to your house and give your wife a stab in the ass?
You come right down. You want to bring our wives into it? You come right down here.
Come on down.
Hang up the phone because the invitation has been extended.
We're here till 7.
Why do I have to come to you? Why don't you come to me?
You got 15 years, number one ratings in this market, my friend.
Are you
15 years. 15 years.
Before he was in town, you guys sucked so bad they moved you off a morning.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. That's right.
That's right. I guess that's why
our ratings were number one in the morning, then.
Who else is on in the pizza?
I guess that's why our ratings were number one in the morning. I guess that's why. I'm breaking the glass.
Before you break it.
Who's your competition?
Just let me tell you something, pussy. If you want to come down here and you want to.
Who's your competition, tough guy?
Who's his competition?
Competition. You should be number one.
We are number one. Ass wife,
most listened to radio station.
No competition.
Hey, ass most wife. Listened to radio show in Washington D.C. and I bet that kills you.
The only reason I listen to you is because there's no other idiots to listen to you right now.
That's right, and your buddy
there's
there.
Nobody else on. You guys suck so bad you couldn't help but to be
right. Because
right
all you douchebags who listen to us and say that you hate us, I guess you don't have tape machines or right. CD players in your car.
Absolutely, you listen because you can't stand not to.
But
you
listen,
can't help yourself.
For you, we make a special invitation. Come on.
This guy comes into town.
Come on down.
He's doing awesome. Even at
come on, son. We're inviting you. You're not taking our invitation, little man.
Hey, son. Hey,
come
listen.
On, little man.
Hey, son. Hello. Hey, little dick.
Pussy boy.
Come on down.
Pussy boy.
Come on down.
Pussy boy.
Come on down.
You know what's great? Our microphones are louder than your telephone, pussy boy.
Come on down.
Why don't you just
our microphones are louder than your telephone, pussy boy.
Now, shut up. Shut up.
Hold on.
Shut up.
No. Shut up a second.
Shut up or I'm going to turn the telephone off. For the last time. You really got a problem with us. Come down to the station, sign a waiver, and we'll fight you.
Is it okay? Can we do it at the same time?
Absolutely.
Or are you going to kick your ass one at a time?
No, we're going to do it all at the same time.
Come on down.
Can I kick Buzz's ass too?
Sure, go ahead. Buzz, would you like some of this?
Yeah, come on down.
All right, very good.
All right, so what time can we expect you? Since you're such a tough guy and you talk such a tough game and it's obvious that you really have this pent-up anger for us, what time can we expect you?
I don't have pent-up anger for you. You just thought you ran about your number one, but who the hell is your competition right
our
now?
Our competition is every other radio station in town.
Any station, anybody that's on the... Well, that's good. We appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
There's nothing.
That's right. There is nothing.
Number one.
There is nothing compared to this radio station. That is absolutely... I will tell you, that is where I agree with you 100%. There is nothing else worth listening to.
listening to when this show is on. I agree with you, and I thank you for that compliment.
Now, for the final time...
It's like being in scumbag Ethiopia.
For the final time...
There's nothing else out there.
For the final time, what time can we expect you today so we can meet the big man who I'm sure does nothing in his career who likes to belittle us?
And there's the fake laugh that always indicates we've really gotten to the point.
In my career.
What do you do for a living?
I sell.
You sell what?
I sell pools.
You sell pools. Are you the number one pool salesman in the region?
Hell if I know in the region, I am number one in my company.
You're number one in your company? Really? Do you have documentation of that?
Let's see. I don't.
How many other pool companies are there in the area?
I don't know.
Are you the number one pool seller out of all the pool companies in the area?
I'm not a pussy.
I only buy a pool from you because all the other pool companies suck.
That's exactly right. They do.
That's right.
I'm number one.
You have no other competition.
Competition out there.
No, you're the best. You have none.
Listen, you're here arguing like an idiot, and frankly, you've insulted us. You've insulted our wives. For the last time.
You guys suck in New York and you suck down here.
You know something? I'm breaking the glass. We had the glass for that reason.
You're pussies.
Come down here, you pussies.
Warning. Terminate.
Come down.
Warning. This is not a test. This is the potential tedious argument alarm system. The caller has activated the PTAA, indicating we all know you're better. We all know you'll beat them. And we also know you're an asshole. Call terminated.
Thank you.
I love that.
Good day.
That's fantastic.
Great invention.
All right.
Absolutely.
Had to be broken.
And there's love here.
The glass had to be broken.
It's a lovey-dovey day.
You know, I am just so sick of the douchebags that call us up and go, first off, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're listening every day to every second of the show.
That is true. You heard what he said. There's nothing else to listen to.
Right. Well, listen, I got news for you. This is Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
There are 4 million people that live in this city, and there are 50 radio stations.
That's correct.
There's plenty to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like any of the other stations,
right,
listen to a cassette. Listen to a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to a book on tape. Drive in silence.
Right. And when you say to a winner that there's no competition, that's actually a compliment. Mm-hmm. I accept that compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. I think for the last 15 years, there has been no competition. And that shows what we do. And we're very proud of that track record.
And if you'd like to come down here and show us what a great pool salesman you are.
Absolutely.
Come on down.
Please do.
Let's compare records.
Very good.
Please. But whatever you do, keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's guys like you to keep us rated number one.
Amen.
And we thank you for that.
All right. Yeah. And meanwhile, we're trying to do something nice for the guy from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, I hung up on him, too.
But he's set.
Yeah, he's set because he'll be over at the Best Western.
Right.
Very good. God, people piss me off.
I know.
They really do.
Me, too.
They really do.
It gets frustrating.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you're number one. I listen every day. I hang on every word you say because there ain't nothing else to listen to.
Right. See, it's very difficult to get inside the minds. It's very difficult to get inside the anger.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's usually somebody that probably wants to be here, that would like to be doing what we're able to do every day.
Well, here we got a guy who thinks we didn't give him a fair chance.
Yo, what's up, Don?
Hey, come on. Get off my ass with this. What do you mean?
Y'all are tight, but you didn't give him a fair chance. I'm going to tell you the reason why. He had a valid point.
Well, what's the valid point?
The valid point is, I'm not going to mention the other stations, but let's be for real now. You don't have any competition. Of course, you guys are the best.
Can I tell you something? Does anybody realize that there are 50 other radio stations? And if there are other stations doing talk programming in this time slot, we are the only radio show in America that is number one in afternoon drive, doing what we're doing.
I know, only one. But I'm saying, though, if you listen to these other stations, it's repetitive BS over and over and over.
But there's nothing we can do about that. It is a compliment to tell us that we have no competition. And the only thing that he brought up is that if we were in another time slot, we wouldn't be doing as well. And the truth of the matter is,
we were removed
from Morning Drive in Washington, D.C. We were removed from that time slot because they wanted us out of the way. Not because we couldn't handle it. We were taken by another company who wanted to move competition out of the morning and put it on their station in the afternoon. What happened at that point is we joined a radio station that was zero show, last in the ratings, had horrible ratings, and we brought them to number one. That's the story. The fact that there's nothing else that you enjoy listening to in the afternoon is fine. The fact that we have no competition, if that's the way you put it, fine. But I'll tell you something, for no competition, we're scrutinized every single month.
You know what that's like? That's like, because we get ratings every month. That's like if you had the balls to say the San Francisco 49ers, when they won three Super Bowls in a row or however many they won, to say, well, no wonder you guys win. You're the best team.
Absolutely.
Yo, I want to verbally challenge y'all. I want to challenge you to a duel of the minds on this issue.
A duel of the minds?
What is
your basis in the radio business?
No.
Third person?
Yes, I am.
You forfeited. You forfeit.
Oh, okay. Exactly. You know what? Charlie says this is some douchebag from some internet group who's just trying to get his name on the radio.
Now, you're not able to. We'll talk to you, but you can't use that name anymore.
All right, now listen. Charlie just told us that you're in some internet news thing.
Exactly.
And the goal is just to get your name on the radio?
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. If you say it again, we're going to hang up.
Charlie deleted you out already.
Yeah, your name didn't get on the air.
That's fine, but let me just...
Now hold on a second. Wait. Shut up for a second. We're gonna get ground rules here. You can't mention that name anymore.
Hold on. Charlie, just come in here and tell me what's going on.
Yeah, tell me about this guy.
You know, I don't know about this. Come tell me this. I don't know. I'm flattered. I'm flattered that you not only listen to the show, but you go to some internet site. What is this, Charlie? What the hell is this?
Well, he won a prize a while back. His name is Hassan.
Hassan and, Brown.
Right, that's his screen name. Shut up.
Yeah, just shut up for a second.
That's his screen name, and he's usually the one talking a lot of smack, trying to stir things up. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Right. On the internet?
We have an open forum.
So, no, you just get off Hassan by stirring things up, and that's that. It's not genuine, you understand?
And Hassan, if it's...
Oh, whatever.
Hey, Hassan, if it's so easy... Why don't you go to one of the 50 stations, get a show, and kick our ass?
Because I have a career, excuse me.
Well, if you have a career, then why are you effing with our career?
Be effing with your career, just like you insult other DJs and you make your critiques of
me, but the fact is, when you're coming in here and we're saying, if you think it's so easy, we're saying... Well, get out of your chosen career and go to another radio station and
come kick our ass.
I mean, if you know so much about it...
If you're such an expert, if it's so easy to do a show with no competition...
I'm just saying, y'all could do better. That's all I'm saying.
How can you do better than number one?
No. Well, you're lazy, okay? You're lazy. You've fallen into a period where, obviously, if you're number one...
I'm not going to listen to this crap from this guy.
Exactly.
You're just an effer, man.
We can't hang with you. You're some douchebag who listens to this show every day.
Yeah, because I work at a computer and I turn on the radio.
Yeah, but there are lots of other stations you can listen to.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to repetitive. I told you, you guys have to...
See, this is what I don't get. This is what I don't... This is another guy, another guy who wants to say, I don't like you guys.
But I listen every day.
I don't understand why you're number one.
If you enjoy this show, let us do our jobs and quit busting our balls.
And he wants to critique...
Why the hell do you listen to Jack Diamond all the time and make... See, you contradict yourself, Don, constantly.
Yes, and you know what? It's my greatest trait, and I'm sorry that you can't deal with it.
And what...
Then why can't I contradict...
Because it's my... ball. You can't play. It's my ball.
And what do you do, Hassan Brown?
I'm a teacher for a computer school.
You teach at a computer school.
And how does that qualify you to critique broadcasts?
Well, because if I listen to you guys since I was in seventh grade.
A lot of people listen, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're an expert in the field.
Not an answer.
Hey, Hassan, please don't make us apologize for being the best thing on the radio. Don't make us apologize for that.
Better. You could be better.
Oh, you know something? There's not one person sitting in this studio that doesn't think we can make this show better every single day.
But you're lazy.
No, we're not lazy.
Same freaking bits all the time.
All right, let me ask you a question about... Let's talk about laziness right now. Yes. Of all the other stations in Washington, D.C., when you're listening in the afternoon and you're listening to shows and you're listening to people that do this for a living, how many of them do all talk for 4.5 hours every single day?
We take
more of a volume of phone calls than any other show of its kind in the country.
If you think it's
lazy, you want to rely on your phone calls to make your bits.
Let me tell you, Hassan, why don't you do it if you think you can do it better?
Well, hey, if you come down there, and give me an open forum.
We'll give it to you right now.
Here it is, right now. You're on the air. Go.
No, see, y'all always try to use this. It doesn't work.
Go
because
ahead.
Because I haven't had any time to prepare. Excuse me.
Oh, well, hold on. I thought you said we're so lazy.
This is a spontaneous phone call.
Here you go. Hassan,
we didn't have time to prepare for this call.
You always use the same thing, but you can't...
We're using the same thing because it's the perfect situation. It's so easy to do, Hassan. We're so lazy. Go ahead.
You lost your edge. That's all I'm saying.
Give us 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's why you're number one.
Y'all used to...
Well, you just contradicted yourself because you said you could do a better job, and then we gave you the chance, and you said, oh, you always do that. Well, in my opinion, that was a giant cop-out.
And I'd have to say,
if you think... Let me come down to your station. I will run the show.
You know what? We should give him the opportunity.
When do you want to come down? You can do the show.
You can't mention that internet name, though.
That's fine. I can do all 4 hours with you guys?
No, not with us. I wouldn't want... Not, you don't get us at all, pal. We're not going to help you. You're the one talking the smack.
No, I'm just saying, if I were down...
Oh, now you're changing it again, Hassan. No, and you know what, Hassan? No, you said we weren't going to beat you, and you know what we're doing? We're beating you right now, Hassan. Your big challenge, you're just starting to wimp out.
Because you changed things.
Hassan. You're starting to noodle, Hassan. You're noodling all over the
place. Hassan, let me ask you something else. If the show is, as you have said, is lost its edge and we're lazy, how would you attest for the fact that the ratings over the last 3 years have doubled?
Because I will make a point that I made on this site. I will say that because
he's trying to get the site. Hassan, I'm going to warn you right now. You don't mention the site. I want you to back off that whole thing, okay? That's a plug for the site. You knock it off.
Okay, here's my point.
We're not going to plug your crap.
Okay, it's not mine.
Whatever it is.
Can I make my point now? My point is, all of the people who listen to you guys are casual listeners because, again, you are the...
No, you're absolutely wrong. That's absolutely incorrect.
Hey, Hassan, can I tell you something? When I look at the ratings, our listeners aren't casual listeners. We have the highest time spent listening.
Let's ask Hassan if he knows what that is. TSL, what's that, Hassan? Tell us what that is and what it means in the ratings.
What's CUME and what's TSL?
Explain that.
CUME, I would assume cumulative.
What does it mean? What does it mean, though?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Exactly.
And there is the central point. You have no idea.
Whatever.
And good comeback there, Hassan.
And what is TSL?
Two donkeys.
What is TSL?
DSL?
TSL.
DSing lips or something?
No. T as in teeth. S as in son of a bitch. L as in loser.
That's a very good question, Donald.
So you don't know?
No, I don't know the answer.
That's right. And you know what? You said it earlier, and I tell you, from talking to you, I think I understand what it is. You have no idea. Just like you have no idea.
From a fan's point of view...
A fan's point of view is subjective. If what you think is your opinion, you are entitled to it, more power to you. But I'm telling you, more people listen to this show now than they ever have. Ever.
That's because there's crap on the radio and not your band.
Right. That's right, Hassan. And because it's so easy...
I listen to you every day. Because
it's so easy, for the final time, I'm going to give you the offer. 3 minutes. We're going to turn our mics off. Let's hear you do a show.
Now, we've let you slam us. We let you get the digs in. Now give us the benefit of let's hear your talent.
I don't have the same tools, and whoever said...
What do you mean tools? Explain that.
What do you mean by tools? What tools do we have? We're talking to you on a microphone.
I could at least have planning time. I don't have...
Hassan, you said how lazy we are and how we have no edge and that taking phone calls is easy. You don't need any preparation.
Hassan, I had no knowledge that you were calling today. This is nothing that was planned.
There's been no preparation.
I swear to God.
Oh, yeah, we're beating you, man. You have no leg to stand on here.
All right, now, I'm going to explain to you, just so you know a little bit about the radio business. CUME is your CUME audience. That would be the amount of, as you put it, from the layman's terms, casual listeners. Those are people who listen for 10 minutes and turn it off. Our CUME number is very small. Our time spent listening, the people who listen to the show, is the highest of any radio show in America. That is why we get big ratings. So your theory is crap your theory that a lot of people are tuning in and don't like it and are tuning out, it's crap.
People come here, they listen to the show, they stay with the show. That's the way it works.
And for the last 3+ years, every book, the numbers have increased.
You always toot your own damn horn.
You know why we do? Have you ever read? What do you read about us in the newspaper around here? What do you see on television around here?
And why would we not toot our own horn? We got a douchebag like you telling us that we suck.
Whatever. You're
whatever?
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 No. That's a good comeback.
Hey, Hassan, I'll tell you, you know, we have heard you say that it's the big... I want to challenge you guys. I want to have a challenge of the minds here. And you know what, man? You just suck.
Then why don't you let me...
You just suck. You don't get the chance. I thought it might be a great idea. I think it's a crappy idea.
We gave you the opportunity.
You can't see me.
You didn't take it.
If you want to come down here, you have to audition right now for 3 minutes. We will give you the opportunity if you audition for us for 3 minutes.
I want to debate you on all these cons.
No. You're not. If you come to a show to show how easy it is,
you've lost the debate. So we're in the different phase now. We're in the Hassan Brown wants to come on and be on the Don and Mike show and do the Don and Mike show. That's the phase we're in. And I'm telling you, you get that opportunity
all
if you audition.
Too freaking lazy. That's all.
If you audition, do you want to audition or are you too much of a pussy?
I guess I'm a pussy.
There you go. Well, I guess you are. Let's let that be the last word. That's Hassan Brown saying he's a pussy.
Whatever, Don. See, you...
That was me, Hassan. That was me. That was Mike, Hassan. You got it wrong. That was me saying that, Hassan.
And Hassan, if I had a dollar for...
You have more control. You run. You won't give me an opportunity.
If I had a dollar for every time you've said whatever today when we've backed you into a corner...
That's right. And I was the one calling you the pussy, Hassan. That's Mike.
Nigga, please. Come on.
Yeah, all right. You know, we don't want that on our show, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, another whatever, Hassan.
I'd be a rich man. I'd be retired.
Hassan Brown, pussy of the decade.
Okay.
Listen, Hassan.
Whatever. There's whatever again.
Now listen.
Can't see me.
Keep listening. Keep listening, Hassan.
Can't see me.
Keep listening.
And you better hope. I'm telling you, if some competition, I'm not going to mention names.
Right.
Like the scary talented Hassan Brown show.
Finished.
If the Hassan Brown show comes on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you better.
Well, listen, Hassan, I'll tell you something.
Watch out for competition. Cause
Hassan, you know nothing of competition.
That's right.
And you know nothing of competition.
You know, I'll tell you about competition. Really, and I'll tell you about people. They have been throwing stuff at us for 15 years.
Old.
That's right.
Yeah, we're tired and old. And how do you explain the fact that the ratings are never as high as they are now?
You have no competition. Like I was stating, like the previous.
Okay, then what about 3 years ago? Who was our competition 3 years ago? Who was our competition 5 years ago?
Donkeys.
Excuse me?
Boy, you were better back then. You were better.
It's been such a challenge.
Breathing down your neck.
It has been such a challenge. We've never had anybody breathe down our neck.
Hassan, name one show that's breathed down our neck.
Back in the day?
Anywhere. Back a bit since we have been here. Absolutely.
Name it.
Greasy.
Grease Man wasn't on in the afternoon.
No, in the morning.
In the morning? We beat the grease man in the morning.
Hassan, I know we've said this a million times.
But I'm just saying...
Hassan, you can call...
You are fat and lazy, okay? You sit back, there's nobody to compete against you.
Hassan...
As long as ratings get fine.
Hey, Hassan, let me ask you a question. What would you do if we... What would you do if we weren't on the air?
Oh, man. You know, that's a very good question.
Right.
I'd probably go to the past from burning different CDs to listen to.
Okay. Right. All right. Okay, I think that answers it.
Gotcha.
Sometimes I like you, but you're stale more than you're fresh.
Okay, well then, Hassan, stop listening.
Please stop listening.
Okay, then you stop listening to Jack Diamond. And you stop critiquing him.
No!
Oh, you like Jack Diamond?
Oh, hell no.
Well, why do you have a problem with us critiquing Jack Diamond?
Because you're saying that I can't critique you and listen. If you don't like Jack Diamond, turn the damn channel.
Okay. I enjoy listening to Jack Diamond.
Have you ever heard us say this, the term? Hey, a-hole, have you ever heard the term, so bad it's good?
Yeah. And actually, I said that about you guys.
No. You didn't say that until Mike said it.
That's right. That is not an original idea, so you can't take it.
I put it in a different phrase.
You should have thrown one of your whatevers in there.
You know what, Hassan? Now I want to tell you something. Why we're not lazy. You, Hassan, have given us great time spent listening today. You not only have listened, but participated. And yes, the fact that we've elected to keep you on the air for 20 minutes has driven our time spent listening up even higher today.
That'll work.
Because people enjoy hearing us argue every once in a while.
Actually, and I like that. That's
with someone who is so friggin' out of it.
I'm not out of it, sir.
Hassan, you're the loser in this.
You're not qualified.
I am not.
Hassan Brown with a big L on his forehead.
Whatever. See?
Whatever. There's another whatever.
That's a win.
There's another whatever. Jesus
okay,
Christ.
You can keep doing that, but like I said, your tactics, you're pretty good at what you do. Because
you're goddamn right we are. That's why we're number one.
Number one, Hassan, and nothing you can do about it. Number one, it's killing you.
I'm just saying, you all need to stop.
Hassan, listen, if everything you say is true, then one of these days, our audience will disappear.
And all these calls that we get loads of calls for years, 15 years we've been getting calls like this. Let me tell you right now, I will tell you why the number one reason it's always the same. Because Hassan, you might not want to admit it, but what you'd love to be doing is exactly what we're doing. You know it's true. I know it's true. This comes out of jealousy. You know I'm right. Admit that at least. At least have the decency.
And concepts and ideas.
Have the decency to admit the truth.
You know what it is, Hassan? I'm sorry you're not happy in your job. I'm sorry that we get to come to work and have fun.
What I do.
Oh, bull. That is so not true. This is not. Do you think this is normal behavior?
Whatever. No.
Do you really?
With the whatever again.
Let me ask you a question, Hassan. Do you really think what you're doing right now, compared to the average guy that's driving home from work, do you think what you're doing qualifies as normal behavior?
Yes.
That's scary.
I'm sorry if I can be a critic.
No.
Critic. You're not a critic. You're an a-hole.
Now, let's not talk about you, Don. You got a bunch of skeletons in your closet.
You know something? Let me tell you something, Hassan.
This is abnormal behavior. Hey, Hassan, the difference is...
You've got a lot of abnormal behavior yourself, Don.
The difference is, Hassan,
so you admit that your behavior is abnormal. Is that what you're saying, Hassan?
That is incorrect.
Yeah, I think I hit the mark on that. I really do. I think I hit the mark.
You did, exactly.
I'm sorry you didn't, Mike.
Yes, I did. I know
whatever.
I did, Hassan. I know. Whatever.
You're the one with issues, sir. Yeah, you can ring that bell again for Don.
With issues.
Yeah, see, don't even get me started.
Right, you know why?
I'm going to go there.
You are fixated on me. I bet you know everything about me, don't you?
Oh, yeah, because of all the negative stuff that's on the internet about you, sure.
Right, and you can believe everything about you on the internet.
Oh, your little drug arrest.
Hassan, like that's a secret?
Exactly.
You want to bring that up? Hassan, you've never made a mistake in your life?
And you're a poor father.
Oh, now, you had to go and get personal. I'm going to stick up.
You got personal with me.
Let me tell you right now. You came into our house. We didn't start this. You came into our house.
You got personal with me.
Hassan, where have you ever read in the newspaper that I'm a poor father?
You are one grade A donkey, all right? I have nothing against Buzz or Mike.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Right. This is always the tactic.
You know, that's you, Hassan. Yeah. You know, that's a pussy cop out. You are
a
pussy.
And actually, Buzz, you're being a hypocrite now. I'm not even going to go there.
You know what? Don't divide and conquer us, because you hate both of us, you son of a bitch.
Not going to work.
All these tactics on me.
Hey, Hassan Brown.
I could split y'all.
Hey, let me tell you right now. Because divide and conquer is so much right now.
Buzz, why don't you tell your employees?
And now he goes to Buzz. You know, now he realizes he's not going to befriend me.
Because you know
he's going to go to Buzz next. You know,
because this guy knows everything from listening about the show.
For listening for 15 years. Hey, is Brown your real last name, Hassan?
Yes, it is, sir.
Well, let me tell you something. You know what? I'm going to make a goddamn point of finding every effing thing out about you, because I am tired, sick and tired of the divide and conquer crap on this
y'all
show.
Y'all are getting a little agitated.
This is Mike. I'm agitated.
Good.
I'm agitated when somebody, you know what makes me agitated? It makes me agitated when somebody talks about somebody being a father. That's what makes me agitated.
Yeah, well.
And then you do the thing, hey, I like, because you are such an incredible
Well, when you
pussy.
Bring your family life onto the radio, you're going to expose yourself.
Well, you know what? If you believe everything that I say on the radio, then you're even dumber than I already think you are.
Yeah,
once again, I thank you, though, for listening to everything about us. I thank you for researching everything about us, true or not.
I like Buzz. I like Mike. You son of a bitch. You can go to hell.
Well, thanks to one of your interns. Sir,
let me tell you right now, Hassan Brown, I really do hope that's your real last name. Because I am going to, you know what? I'm going to find out about you. Good. I'm going to make it my own little personal pet project because you're just the last guy that I want to talk to about this.
That'll work.
Again, you don't know what you think you know, and you're not qualified to comment on any of this.
Okay, whatever. Then what?
You moron.
Personal conversation with somebody.
With your limited vocabulary. Your limited vocabulary where you have to say whatever.
About where you work. And then, so you come in here, Buzz, and you act like, oh, it's all good. You're going to take sides with them. When the conversation...
Hey, you know, let me explain. This concept might be lost on you. We are a team in here, Hassan. We have worked together. We have some of us have worked in here for 15 years. Don has worked with Charlie Broyhill for, 18 years?
Yeah.
And Buzz and Don worked before. We're a team. And when we go on the road together, we get along great. It's like a party because we've been successful enough to work together as a team and do it successfully. And when you come in, let me tell you right now.
Okay, what have you heard?
Oh, you really want to know?
I
can say specifically? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, remember your Las Vegas-style show back at Carmen Kaboom?
No.
I remember the time...
Hold on. You've had sex with Toya? Is that what this is about?
Oh, no, it's not.
You dated Toya.
It's not about that, but can I explain what happened?
So,
what happened?
You dated a disfranchised employee.
No, but can I say, this is before she...
Wait a minute. Maybe that's where it's coming from. Maybe that's where No. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any crap like that because you know what?
You have dated
a disenfranchised employee.
No, but this is before she was disenfranchised. It's a conversation.
Oh, yeah, because anything that happens before a disenfranchised employee is fair game.
As a matter of fact, you are even asking about what happened between a conversation between Buzz and Toya on the ride up, and I am privy to that conversation.
You weren't in the car.
Buzz has the nerve to sit here and act like he's unified with you, but despite what he said to Toya...
All right, hold on.
You know what?
Tell me what Buzz said to Toya.
I don't know. I'm not going to let that happen because I don't...
Exactly,
you know something?
Thank you.
Oh, exactly. Thank you. You know what? F you. You are absolutely a... And this is Mike talking, I could give a rat's ass what happens in a conversation between Buzz and Toya.
Well, I'm just saying...
I'm just saying. You know what? Hassan Brown, I swear to God, you're a record setter. You are a record setter, MF-er. You are a record setter.
You are.
There's never been one like you. I'm going to find out about you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to find out where you work.
Well, we'll call Toya and ask her about you.
We're going to find out.
You should do that, and I would...
We'll ask you. We'll ask Toya all about Hassan Brown.
I got y'all in a corner.
How do you got us in a corner?
Is the relationship still good?
You won't even let me discuss what...
You know what? Because you know what? I don't think it's fair to have any private conversation revealed on the radio. I really don't think that you don't have that privilege.
I'm just saying that's the reason why I think it's kind of messed up how Buzz is sitting here.
And I'll tell you right now. Let me tell you another reason I don't think we should broadcast a private conversation.
Why?
It's because I think a private conversation, this guy could make anything up.
Yeah, that's very true.
And why give him the opportunity? Because I think he's a liar anyway.
Okay, whatever you say.
And is your relationship with Toya still good?
Oh, hell no.
Would Toya maybe know why it's not good?
No, I'm not even gonna say.
Would Toya maybe have some stories about you?
No, I don't. I'd have stories about her.
So you
would sell her out also?
No, I'm just I.
Obviously, the relationship. You seem to be stammering.
Toya's in her own world.
Oh, she is. Yeah, but I mean,
but hold on, wait a minute. Toya's in her own world, yet you are willing to quote her about something that Buzz allegedly said to her.
That's kind of a contradiction, isn't it, Hassan?
It was specifically after the Las Vegas-style show. And Buzz remembers me. I shook his hand.
Oh, you shook his hand. So you've been to the Las Vegas-style show. So you are the active listener.
I was backstage with...
So we're so scary, lazy, and scary stale that you come out to the Las Vegas-style shows.
That's because I was talking to Toya at the time.
Oh, you were talking only because of Toya.
Right.
But you seem to know everything about the show.
Because she has told me some interesting things.
Because you are not normal, Hassan.
Okay.
You're not normal.
Okay. Whatever.
You're not.
There you go again.
More normal than a Don Geronimo.
No, you're not. No, I got news. I you know something?
You got something on me that's abnormal? Lay it on me.
No, I'm just saying.
Come on, lay it on me. Whatever you got to say. What big secret do you have?
It's not a secret. It's
lay it on me.
You're just an egotistical SOB.
Oh, that's it. Oh, so that's it. Boy, that's the abnormal rap.
Hey, thanks for hitting me with that one. God damn, I never heard that before. So that's it? That's the big secret?
Wow.
No, it's some of the things that you do. And
like what?
You exploit your family sometimes.
So give me an example.
Not just the way you bring your son into things. I think it's kind of
he doesn't
wrong.
Like that.
When my son is on the show, it is my son's choice.
When you start talking about the stuff that he does, and he says...
Would that be the son you're talking about, the son that is doing so well that he's been being recruited for, like, every college in the country now?
Sometimes you put him out and you...
The bad father that's raised a son that's getting recruited at every college in the country.
That's
a horrible job.
That's good.
I guarantee you this, you son of a bitch. I'm a better father than your father was, or his father was, or if you have any children, they will ever be.
No children, not yet.
No, and you're probably not possible.
All right, so that's your big out on me. I'm a son of a bitch. And you don't like the way...
Yeah, he called you an egotistical son of a bitch.
And you don't like the way that I put my family on the radio. Well, that's your opinion. F you.
Okay, F you too.
Okay, great. Are we done?
So, come on, I'm waiting for the big secret.
I didn't say there's a secret about you. I'm just saying, though...
What is the bombshell?
With you, Mike, and anybody else, you're just the biggest dick.
There we go. Thank you. I like that.
Hold on. You know, it's just for the last 20 minutes, you've teased us with this.
Right, yeah.
You don't want to hear what I have to say.
And that's what it comes down to.
That's why I said, why don't you let me come down there, and I will.
I'm telling you right now, what's the bombshell? You're on the radio. Go.
No, I would rather be live and in person.
Yeah, not going to happen, Hassan.
Oh, well. I guess the internet will just happen.
What's the bombshell?
The internet, shocker that you exist on the internet. Shocker that you live on the internet.
Your own news group, donkeys.
Not our news group.
We have no affiliation with that news group. None whatsoever. That news group is the land of the abnormal. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. All right, now listen to
Let me ask you this. Why do other DJs who have these news groups get more fans who are actually loving
the show? What? Can you rephrase that, Hassan? I really didn't understand that question.
Okay, I do apologize.
Yeah, because you didn't phrase it very well.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Why is it that other DJs who have news groups have dedicated followers who don't make negative speak of them?
Because other disc jockeys don't take these calls.
I don't know.
Other disc jockeys get probably more than these calls.
Because they're not interesting. Why do other disc jockeys not have the high ratings we have?
On this show, we are aware of one thing, Hassan. We are aware that there are people that love this show, there are people that hate this show, and there are people that love to hate this show. Mm-hmm. And we want to entertain every last one of them.
Yeah, who gives a frig what someone writes on the internet about us?
You know, it is not always pleasant. Hold on, let me finish. It is not always pleasant to take these calls, although Don and I kind of dig it. To be perfectly honest, we do it a lot. But I'll tell you right now, we know that when people listen to this, they dig it. They love somebody calling up and busting our balls.
Hassan, being the insider that you claim to be, having dated Toya, for the last time, what is the bombshell you have, whether it's about me or Mike or Buzz? What is it?
Well, she was just making comments about some of the things that you guys used to do. That one time you made a comment about the fact that, on Don Imus' show, whenever they cut to break, you know, everybody's like not interacting with one another. And you're like, hey, on this show, after the commercial break, some of our best moments come out.
That's very true.
Right.
Quoting Toya, she's like, well, it's not like that at all.
Let me ask you a question. How would Toya know, since during the commercial breaks, Toya would never come in the studio? Toya would be back in the phone screening room.
No, she would say stuff like, Mike runs out to the hallway to play golf.
True.
And does this.
Right.
And then Buzz. And,
right.
And then when you guys leave during the day, it's like y'all split apart.
No.
And that. A lot of the on-air camaraderie.
Toya never saw, you know,
that is your bombshell?
Is that it?
No, there's other things, and I don't want to touch on these areas.
No, come on, give me your best shot. You're such a big man. What's the big smoking gun?
Issues dealing with how you run your contest that I heard were not completely legit.
Those are all documented here at the station.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
You want to come down and you want to see the rules and you want to see how they do the contest?
And go ahead. What else? What else do you have?
And I got stiffed on one of your contests.
Oh.
So I guess you wouldn't be necessarily an objective party.
All right, so that's your bombshell?
No.
I should point out, too, and answer your last question, that Don, Mike, and Buzz ride down every single night in the elevator at the building. We leave together
among
every
other things.
Single night.
So listen, I'll give you one more chance to get better. Whatever your best bomb is, lay it on us now.
You are 0 for 2, Hassan Brown.
Nope, I would rather come in and do it in person when I have a chance.
No, no, no,
you're not going to come out.
You know why? It's because you don't have anything.
I have to go back through memory.
Do you have the delusion that we would actually, after this, give you live airtime?
That's fine if you don't.
You've actually refused to audition. We gave you an opportunity to do it over the phone.
We've given you a half hour now, and you've said, I have secrets, I have things I was told.
And you said a whatever about 50 times.
And as far as I can tell, the secret you have, or that you consider me to be an SOB and egotistical, you don't like the fact that I put my son on the air, you got information from someone who's never in the studio during breaks to say that we're not happy during the break. Is that what you got? Is that it? That's your big smoking gun?
It's not supposed to be a smoking gun.
That's your
is that info? Is that your insight?
You certainly didn't make it sound like you had some kind of...
No, there are other things...
All right, well, then give me one.
Back it up.
Give me one.
Excuse me. I told you I would have to research.
I don't have anything right now because I'm just a giant pussy. Because
you got nothing.
I am a giant pussy. My name is Hassan. I'm a giant pussy.
Well, you wouldn't let me come down and prepare myself.
Hassan, you've been on the air for a half hour. You got anything to say? This is your final chance.
I think the only preparing for yourself you do is probably with a bottle of Jergens.
Actually, that'll work.
This is your final chance. You got some deep, dark secrets? Lay it on us.
I'll tell you, you're not...
There's no deep, dark secrets.
Well, I'll tell you, of course, that's right. There are no deep, dark secrets.
Little things.
Like what?
Things that the listener...
Like what?
I can't think right now.
You got nothing.
Can't
think right. You had nothing at the beginning?
So you just said I couldn't discuss the issue between what Buzz and Toya had.
No. All right, go ahead. What is it? Go.
Basically, from what I understand is that Buzz is really disgruntled with his job and that he doesn't appreciate the way he's treated by you sometimes, Don, the way you kind of talk down to him.
Really?
And then also that you were kind of pleased because you guys were doing the bit about Buzz and Toya having sex, and you were pleased that you were kind of not in the limelight, but you were being featured more.
Is that it? Really? That's it? Now, let me ask you, Buzz.
Yes.
Did you ever have a conversation with Toya where you told her that you were unhappy at any point on the show?
No, I did not.
Okay, so that's what we have there. And even if he said he was disgruntled, that's it?
That's what you got? Do you know?
I know for a fact that nobody on this show has ever bitched about anybody else on this show. In the years that we've all been together, nobody has ever said an unkind word about anybody else on this show.
So that's what you've got? That's it?
Is that your big secret?
No.
No.
They're not.
I have to go back and prepare.
But, I mean, is that all you have?
It's just little things that I learned. It's kind of...
Well, you know what? The little things you've learned don't add up to a pile of warm spit.
All the little things that you've told us, aside from your personal opinions, sound to me like the kind of stuff that could be office gossip anywhere.
And
that could
sound like you're a little obsessive.
Another thing I remember, now you say office gossip, supposedly that the employees around the station were laughing about you, Don, behind your back because of the excess amount of cologne you wear.
Well, that could be one of us, actually.
Oh, that cuts me to the quick.
Yeah, that's horrible. Boy, that's a big one, Don. I don't know how we're going to be able to go on.
They should have hired you for the movie The Insider and fired Russell Crowe.
Hey, Hassan?
Yeah.
I heard that the employees where you were complained because they don't like your smell of ass. That's right. You're going to see a giant jar of ass don't smell.
Yeah, Hassan, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ. You better wake up tomorrow morning and see the headlines. Expose on Don and Mike Show by Hassan Brown.
Nah.
Boy, I tell you, it has been real tough being in the ring with Hassan Brown. I feel just so defeated.
Cool. I have truly enjoyed this moment.
Yeah, because it's been a victorious moment for you.
No, I don't look for victory.
You've uncovered all of the dark secrets of this show.
Well, Hassan, you know it's funny. If we went back, and listened to the tape, I would say you were looking for victory. You were making comments along the lines of somebody that was ready to spar with us.
Just my opinion.
And you know what? And you didn't do very well.
You came up empty.
Well, hey, I can't go against your 6 million listeners.
Well, we haven't brought the listeners into it. I think we got three guys that are talking to you right now.
I'm just me. You guys are obviously, you have the
Thank
power
God.
Of the radio.
That's right. That you're just
And you've been on the radio. You've had the same amount of power as we have. The exact same for the last half hour.
It's been a commercial-free segment, too.
And there you go. Thank you for your expose. Tomorrow we will all be mass turning in our resignations after all of these horrific secrets.
Let me recap right now. Buzz is disgruntled. Uh-huh. We all don't get along here. We're lazy. We're old. We've lost our edge.
Don't forget, I'm an a-hole.
John's an a-hole.
parent.
We're both dicks. He did say that. I feel.
And I wear too much cologne.
And Dom wears too much cologne. Have I gotten it all? Have we recapped?
They said you wear too much cologne for a certain reason. But again, I'm not going to go there.
No.
Okay, what was the certain reason?
Supposedly to cover up the smell of drugs. That's what I just heard, okay?
All right, yeah, because I'm taking drugs right now, Hassan.
That's right, and he splashes on cologne.
I just thought that was interesting.
Well, that is, Hassan,
you know what? You're trying something here. You're trying a tact. That is not a secret that I used to party. I don't party anymore. I don't party anymore.
So that's the truth. That's the truth. Now, what else? Is there anything else? We're going to give you one last shot.
No,
anywhere else?
You guys have worn me down. I admit I cannot.
What do you mean we've worn you down? You're the guy who said you know all the information.
You came in ready to spar. What are you worn down for?
I'm just taking gossip.
Ah! You are taking gossip as truth.
And I never said that this was 100% true.
No, you implied it. Boy, I tell you, don't trip over yourself.
That.
Hey, Hassan.
I can verify information.
Hassan, don't trip over yourself while you're backpedaling, okay? Hey, shut up for a second. Don't trip over yourself as you backpedal.
This is sure different than the tat you had 20 minutes ago.
I'm just worn out. Y'all got me.
What do you mean you're worn out? Because we've given you the opportunity? We've given you the opportunity to
answer. We're all good? It's all good now?
It
wasn't all good.
No. You're good.
It wasn't good.
I thought the show was stale, that we're lazy.
Good at what you do. It's not completely
Oh, we're good
stale,
at what we do now. Well, I believe we've turned the corner. We're getting...
Handle these calls.
We're getting compliments
now. We're stale. We're lazy.
No.
You're not all good. You're an effort. You're a little gadfly. You're a little man. You're a pussy and you're a moron.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
From you, that's high praise.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
A little moron pussy who lives on the internet. See, we're not giving you compliments. We're not Hassan Brown. We're not giving you compliments.
Okay.
You know, you might give us compliments, but no, I don't like you.
I don't like anything about you. But Hassan, for the record, you've been on the show for 40 minutes, and we've given you an open forum.
You have mentioned everything you wanted to mention about us.
Tomorrow when we wake up, either our careers will be in a total shamble because of all of these.
We'll continue to go with no competition.
And let me tell you right now, Hassan, is there any other show that would give you this much time? A guy that called for one reason and one reason only to bust our balls. Is there any other show that would do that?
No, there isn't.
All right.
No.
Good. And that's a good last word.
Thank you.
I like that. Right. Goodbye, Hassan. Here.
Goodbye. See you on 60 Minutes.
Yes, sir.
All right, hang up, Hassan, please. At least do us that favor.
Oh, come to the news group, okay?
Yeah, right. Goodbye.
No, come on. Why would we want to come to the news group?
Oh, no.
Just so you can see what people have to say.
Goodbye, Hassan.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Hassan, can I tell you something? The people who troll on news groups are people who have nothing else to do. Hassan, the report card that I judge our success or failure by comes out every month, and it's called the Arbitron Ratings.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, go away.
I apologize.
Go away.
You got me.
Go away.
You got me.
Yeah, you're damn right we did.
We did.
And I am actually honored to be defeated by you guys in a verbal.
Yeah, well, you don't say that because you know what? It makes me feel like your whole thing was less than genuine and that's going to piss
true.
Me off all
that's,
over again.
No, that's
all right, then just
true.
Go away. Then why don't you just go away?
We've addressed all of your ridiculous claims.
At least give us...
You fought unfairly, and to your listeners, that's a victory.
Now listen to me.
How did we fight unfairly? We let you talk.
Hey, Hassan, it sounds like you might be getting your second win.
No, I gotta go inside.
You gotta go inside. All right, go into your trailer.
It's getting dark.
Why don't you hang up?
I live in a house.
Yeah, you gotta go log on now.
Yeah, go log on and J-O all night, getting all your legions with legions.
No, I don't know. Actually, most people, I don't have very much support there.
Right, go log on.
Go log on.
Don't log on.
Very good.
Say, did you hear me today? I told Don he's an overbearing a-hole. Oh, God. And then they'll log back, Hassan, you were great.
No.
Yes,
I failed.
Come on, Hassan.
I failed.
You failed. Very good. Okay, that's another good last word. Goodbye, Hassan.
All right, Joe. Y'all take care. It was an honor.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay.
Wow. Well, did anybody keep track of the time?
How long, Rob?
My rough estimate? Rough estimate, because I didn't log it.
Right.
52 minutes.
52
oh,
minutes.
Man.
You know, listen, we're sorry about that. And, I mean, we broke out the PTLL on the guy earlier.
Yeah. Right.
But every once in a while, you get the follow-up guy.
Yeah, you gotta live with it a little bit.
You know what I mean?
And people, there's a segment of the audience, they dig it. I hope they dig it.
Well, yeah, or else what Hassan said will be true. Is that raining? Right. And we're going to be fired.
Sure hope you enjoyed it.
I don't know.
There's a part of us I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, there's a part of me that I dig it. I love it because it's just fun. The give and take.
What?
And there's a part of me that just really gets pissed off.
I thought we had to let it go because the guy was implying that he had some deep, dark,
right,
secret that we wouldn't let him say.
Absolutely. So we really had to, you know, go ahead, give us your best shot.
And that's
and he's
it.
Hitting he it and you all heard it.
That's it. Ellen Buzz?
Yes.
You are fucked.
Okay. I knew that
today
was coming.
Today is your last day on the show.
Well, I'm much happier now.
And I mean that because I'm an a-hole.
Well, that's right.
And later I'm going to bring my kid out and have him tap dance for everybody.
All right.
But Mike?
Yes.
I love you.
I love you right back at you, man.
All right. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
The writing is delicious.
Two of Carmi's minions, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, now I know we gotta make this a real quick break. Can the girls stay? You know, we forgot all about Robbie's party today.
Yeah, what's the deal with the ladies?
Well, with the hour of as-a-ol-haze.
I mean, you know, you get a good argument going, and that will just burn up time like nothing.
It does. Hi, can the girls stay?
No, unfortunately, they have to leave.
Oh, crap.
And, you know, it's probably better because their show would be about 15 or 20 minutes, and we wouldn't leave until 10.
Can we reschedule the girls for tomorrow?
We'll reschedule.
Okay.
I don't know about for tomorrow, but we'll reschedule.
Okay. Please pass along our apologies. I know you will.
I have. I've smoothed that over.
He sure has, Billy. He sure has.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Enough of this stuff, man. I turn from a number one rated Baltimore hip-hop station every afternoon to listen to you guys. Enough.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
You know, at least give us this. We don't argue with everybody as much as we used to.
No, we don't. I mean, we do break the glass a lot.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Feel strangely.
Oh, man, I love you guys. Look, I work for two detective agencies. I serve papers every day of my life. I will gladly, all I need is his name and phone number, serve him an FU letter every Sunday morning at all hours of the morning from now to the day I die for free.
Nah, listen, I appreciate it. No, listen, that guy, he gets what he deserves every day when he wakes up.
Absolutely.
And logs on his computer.
Sure.
Pulls down his pants and listens to the show.
You know, a lot of us were saying this after the fact that at the very end, you know, Rob was pointing this out. The guy was just trying to stay on as long as possible. And, you know, I do hope a lot of that was genuine. And but a lot of guys like that, they were, you know, not only are they the abnormal folks that are just going to call because they really have something to say and they're jealous and the whole thing, but sometimes they just want to stay on as long as possible.
And I have a statement for him that you guys may appreciate that can be broadcasted.
What's that?
Fist on you, pisser. You ain't so muck and fudge. Go in your own jackyard and back off.
All right, thank you, my friend. Elway Edsay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure you guys had
Mr. Hassan Brown's address so you can get a check for the $100 because that was a great bit.
Well, I'd like to hear that, too.
Yes, and thank you. Yes, much like that other disc jockey in the morning, Hassan was paid by us to call and argue.
Absolutely.
Great bit. Great job, Hassan.
Way to go. You'll get an extra bonus.
Check's in the mail.
And then tell them to, you guys on the writers forgot the three most important parts of that. Buzz wants swapped, and Mike likes golf, and Dom's married to a hot woman.
There we go. Yeah.
All right.
You know what? I do feel strangely purged, though. I mean, whether it's genuine or not, I feel I always feel like a purging has gone on. It's very therapeutic to do that. You know?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
It's an honor to talk to both of you.
Right. Well, thank you for your service to our country.
Listen, I was thinking about playing the lottery, and I need a good four-digit number. I got six digits, but I need four digits.
Oh, you know what? They stole it from me. Oh, the Buzz, hold on.
I don't know if it's right, though.
Hold it up, Buzz.
All right.
Well, if you don't know if it's right, what are you holding it up
for? No, he had the last.
Oh, God. Hey,
yeah, don't repeat it.
Oh, my. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah.
I'm paraplegic. And I wanted to tell you.
Oh, you're on Vicodin?
Well, yeah, I've done Vicodin.
Okay. Wow.
But Sopranos. Sometimes paraplegics have to use catheters to urinate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And after the guy got crippled, Tony was explaining this one day.
This is last year's episode you're talking about, right? Okay.
And he says, he's talking.
Listen, I'm sorry. I don't care if you're paraplegic. It's too slow.
Yeah,
got to speak fast.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how are you guys today?
Not on today's show.
That's right.
I mean, really, there are time constraints here.
Today, if you're a paraplegic man, you got to pull it together and give us your best shot.
We invite that gentleman to call back, at a show where we don't have an hour-long argument.
Hey, listen, Christopher Reeve called today. He'd have a 30-second time limit.
That's it's right. A two-useful leg Thursday.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Hi. I want to talk about Hassan. His problem is he's spoiled. I travel around the country. And I listen to the radio. I do a lot of driving. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, on the radio to listen to outside of Rush Limbaugh and Dr. whatever her name is. It's ridiculous.
Well,
you guys are an oasis.
You know,
listen.
And you have to do something.
That competition
issue. South Florida.
We got to make it clear to people. You know, we're not being paid to come in here and just J.O. all day. I mean. They would not have us here if they didn't think they needed to put a good effort forward all the time. You know, and all this no competition thing.
Yeah.
Don mentioned it before. There are a gazillion radio stations out there. Whether you like them or not, they're the competition.
They're the competition.
That's the way it works.
You know, it's like Survivor. All right, well, it's got friends on against it, but last year.
Right.
Survivor had no competition. Everybody watched Survivor. I don't hear people saying Survivor's popular because it's got no competition.
Right.
And frankly... Morning Drive, that ain't so scary. You saw me a major talent in Morning Drive. We did Morning Drive.
We did.
For 5 years before they hired us away to come here because we were beating their guys so bad in the ratings.
What I think you should do is you should line up all our ratings periods from end to end and you see how many times we were number one. Were we number one every time? No, we've gotten beaten before. But I'll tell you right now, you look at a track record over a decade, well over a decade, and you will see... what we've done, and we're proud of it, and we stand by that, and we stand on that.
And maybe the next time when our contract is up in a couple of years, you know what? Maybe we'll leave this place and go somewhere and work in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
One final time.
Give it one more shot.
Just to show.
I like that.
Just to show, you know, all the new, the modern dickheads.
Right. Yeah, I mean, all the guys that are, you know, just throwing that that morning stuff and afternoon stuff at us. That, you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right, that's a nice way to go out.
But in the meantime, you're still beating the morning shows by remote control from this time.
Yes,
period.
And that's a good point, absolutely. You have to consider what is the most popular show in the city. That's what you have to look at.
It's us. I'm sorry, it's us. We're tooting our own horns.
So we toot our own horns, and we've mentioned it before because nobody else does.
You don't hear it anywhere else.
And we like to tell our listeners, because we're all part of the same team, we like to tell our listeners that are on that team, except for Hassan, that, you know, you've been successful. And that's the way we look at it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Robert here in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yes, Robert.
I haven't called you guys in 6 years. I'm a 48-year-old man, and Hassan just incensed me like you wouldn't believe. You guys
are very good. You have a great show. You put a good humor. And one thing, you stick by your family. I will give Rob A. my credit card number. I'm the retired Fed from your St. Valentine's Day party about 5 years back.
A retired Fed. Watch out.
Last time you said I was a fag. But that's okay.
Oh, retired fag, right. Retired Fed, okay.
No, but, you know, I don't like for people to attack you personally because they really don't understand your show.
You know what, listen, please, I appreciate what you're saying, but you know what? It comes with the territory, and if it was something that I thought would really be hurtful to my family, mm-hmm. I would have deleted it out. But my family is used to the fact that I talk about them on the air, and they call up, and they like being on the air. And, hey, listen, it goes with the territory.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to slam us for a variety of reasons, and it does come with the territory. It really does. If you're not used to that after as long as we've been taking the yeah. amount of calls, hey, but do they get us mad? Absolutely. That's real. That's real. When you hear us getting mad, that's real anger there. That really is. But the thing about it, we discussed this before, too. The anger literally evaporates when it's over.
Sure.
I mean, you hang up on that guy and it's gone. And
you know why?
That's the nice thing. I don't think we'd be able to do it if it didn't go away.
No, it's like wrestling. You right. know? Yeah. I mean, we got done with that and we all said, wow, hey, that was a pretty good bit.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So, even though we were all really mad at the guy at the time,
you don't stick with it because there's not, I mean, that's insanity.
It's yeah. a good bit.
That'll put you in a hospital.
Don Mike Show. I mean, frankly, really, I'm secure enough about, since we were talking about, you know, my family, I'm secure enough in my family. I don't give an F what anybody listening to this show thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You draw your own conclusions. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I like my family. My family likes me. We're great together. If you don't think so from listening to the show, well, F you, but as long as you're listening, that's all I care about.
I wish I could say the same thing.
Hello. I'm Don and Mike.
I'm kidding. Laura, Catherine, Elizabeth, I'm kidding.
Hello.
That's a joke. I did that purely for comedy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, fine. Thank you.
I got a quick theory on why I know you guys work in the morning or afternoon, but I think the main reason is most of us are still, you know, a little, we don't have methadone when we're hungover in the morning. So we feel a little bit better in the afternoon when we're listening to you.
Right, because I know, because the meth in the morning slows you down.
I think that's the secret to our success. We can, you can pinpoint it to methadone.
And as a matter of fact, when we do go to mornings, if we do have to discuss it, it'll be the meth and Vic.
Meth in the morning.
Meth and Vike.
Meth and Vike. And Buzz, you can be Perk.
All right. There we go.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Hi, buddy.
I just wanted to tell you what I got from the man himself that said how much of a prick you are, Don. Don, I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
Oh, listen, I don't give a rat's ass what anybody says about me. I really don't.
This
I
mean, from a primary source, not from hearsay, third person, that Mike, Rob, and Buzz go out partying after the shows and whatnot, but you refuse to go.
Well.
Because, would you be interested in who it is?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? What is the... I'm not sure what the theory is.
I think it's a joke.
No, I swear to God, this is true.
Okay, so you heard that after a show, Mike, yeah. Rob, and Buzz go out partying?
They go out party, or after Las Vegas.
No, you got
to
take...
They go put dying out, but
I am afraid,
you refuse to go.
I am afraid you have to take Buzz out of that equation.
Okay.
There are only two individuals that... hang together after a Las Vegas
extremely reliable source.
Mr. Rob Spiewak and myself.
Who is your extremely reliable source?
Is your definition of partying going to Denny's for eggs?
Rob, you spoiled the whole thing. Who is your extremely reliable source?
Dennis D. Murphy.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, yeah. And Dennis really knows a lot about what happens after the show. And listen, that's no secret that after I get done working with these guys for 5 hours a day,
right.
We get in a car, we get in a plane, we go somewhere and we do a show.
Right.
Frankly, I'm sick of them.
Absolutely. Actually, if I want to quote him, what his exact words were, you're a hard ass.
And is that something that I should be crucified for? That after I got done, after I get done working with people all day, I say to them, I would rather be by myself and go to my room?
Absolutely not.
So what was the point of your call?
I just wanted to add one to the conversation.
You know why? Because I don't want to get into it again, but you're a copycat. You know, you're a guy that doesn't have the balls to do it on his own, but you just got to... Now you hear that guy for 1 hour, and you got to get your nut by calling us and doing that, too. You know, something that's absolutely mindless and wrong. I mean, I hate to say this, but I mean, it's just like... The copycat calls that we get after we do a segment like we did with that guy Hassan, that those are the worst people that listen to this show because they are.
Can I just make it even worse? And
no,
I went through a conversation that I heard last week about JNL, J-O-ing. Yeah.
Really? Well, I mean, what does that have something to do with the show?
Yeah, you guys are talking. Well, actually, it was a bit about merit and getting rid of the hammer.
This guy, now I really have a headache. I mean, he loses his privileges.
Right. Yeah, he's out of here.
Listen, again, we're doing a show, everybody.
Oh, my God.
We do a show. You know, and we do get that from everybody. I mean, you get it I'm sure you get it. I get it too. It's like, do you guys hang out together? Yeah, we go home and we have dinner at each other's houses every other night. Yeah. No. I mean, we do 4.5 hours. That's a lot of togetherness. Do we go out sometimes? Absolutely. Do we socialize sometimes? Absolutely. Is it frequent? Absolutely not. We see everybody every day.
However, I'll tell you this: when we go on the road,
we hang.
Mike and I hang together.
Absolutely.
Charlie and I hang together. I mean, there are cliques.
We do have a blast on the road. We do. And you know what? That's good enough for me, and I think that's good enough for everybody here.
And furthermore, about all this crap, and Mike is my best friend.
We get along great. We've gotten along great for 15
Always
years.
Always have. Buzz is my second best friend. If I would think if Buzz had a problem on the show, he would mention to me. He never has. You know, he's worked for me for almost 20 friggin' years.
Thank you.
Okay? And I do lots of stuff behind the scenes for the people who work on this show.
Absolutely.
However, because I'm not like Jack Diamond, I don't feel the need to come on and say, hey, guess what? Buzz is getting screwed in his negotiation, so I stepped in today and made sure that Buzz's contract was taken care of. I made sure that Rob got this. Right. I made sure that Charlie got that. I don't do that.
People when you work together for a length of time, everybody's got their own sensibilities. Everybody's got their own space. And, you know, one of the things that's good is that I think as time goes on, we all get more sensitive to one another. We know what's going on. But are we up each other's ass when the bell goes off? Absolutely not. But do Buzz and Sue, this is the truth, and I think it's important to point out, at the end of the show, the three of us go down. Every night together.
Yeah.
We go down every night together.
Yeah, exactly.
We take the elevator downstairs every night. We leave together every night. We do. We have a nice little joke or something on the way. Right. Every night. And I think it's a very cool thing.
Every
and I
night.
Guarantee you show me bosses, employees that work together and do that every day. That doesn't happen in the normal workplace.
And it doesn't happen. And I understand to do a show like this, I have to be the way that I am on the air, because generally speaking, on the air and off the air, Mike is a nice guy. Buzz is a nice guy. Rob is a nice guy. No offense to those three guys. Incredibly talented, my best friends. If there was a fourth guy in here,
it would suck.
Who was just a nice guy.
It would totally and completely suck, and it wouldn't work.
And that's right. My role on the show. And I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and so is everybody else.
Somebody's got to drive.
Yeah, everybody else is fine with it.
But, you know, and we do hang. I mean, a lot of people ask me. It is my least favorite question that I get from people. It's like, do you guys get together? You know, I don't know why but it's important to people. There's got to be a reason that people ask that.
Well, but they want to know if we're really friends.
Where we hang and where we have a great time, we still do, is on the road. And that is where we spend a lot of time. We do. And it's fun. And, you know, but the answer to the question as far as you're concerned, when when we do a Las Vegas style show, Rob and I go out and have eggs, and you're like, see ya, and you do it because you want to go home. And that's the way it is, folks. It's not because anybody's a hard ass.
Right.
You know, the perfect example would be when we got done having dinner in Reno at about 12:30, 3:30 in the a.m. real time.
Yeah.
We kept waiting for dinner. I got up and
you did. Yeah, that was seriously, we were at that table for an hour before any food had come.
I got up. And
it was easily an hour.
I said to someone, I'm just going to go to my room for a minute. I'll be right back. And I looked at Mike, and Mike knows that that's my...
He's gone.
Adios. Yeah. I'm gone.
It's funny.
I'm not being rude.
And nobody took offense.
No, it's just, that's the way I am. I've had enough.
Right.
Good night.
And we told you that 5 seconds after that happened,
there was
a steak about this big.
It didn't stop Roy Hill from eating my food.
He ate your steak in its entirety.
Right. So everybody, just chill out.
Yeah.
It's a show.
Chill.
It's a show. It's a show. That's all it is. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you guys know, I've been listening to you since WRVA. This is what I love about you. The fact that you can take the time to take 52 minutes to trash one. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. All right.
Love it.
Thank you.
I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Thank you. Hi, Don and Mike. Last call. We got a break. Hi.
Hey, you guys are great. That's the best you ever are is when you beat up on a guy like that. Don, I've been listening to you since you were in Chicago. You guys are great. Love the show, and that was just keep beating up on him.
we can't do that all the time. Just like I said, you couldn't have a steady diet of four just nice, happy guys.
No.
You couldn't have a steady diet.
Yeah, and it only works if the guy's throwing a few punches.
Of arguing all the time.
It's
not like
do it.
Not like a senior citizen lying in the gutter that we're just kicking, you know what I mean? There are a few punches thrown on the part of the other person.
Yeah. Okay, now we got to change topics.
Very good.
Okay, here's our transition music. Yeah. Now we're totally done with that. We're done with the psychoanalysis of the show.
I am exhausted.
I just want to say something. I ain't going out with any of you guys tonight.
No way.
What?
No. Sorry, Rob. F you. F your birthday.
I understand, Don. Wink, wink.
Call 100 now. Trying to give away the money. Secret song, 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Wink, the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, this is Furio Giunta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Ladies, step into their studio and talk to St. Peter.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, we've rescheduled Rabe's multi-girl sex show.
Excellent.
For tomorrow.
Wow.
Hey. Also tomorrow, we're going to be talking more about our new contest, the small breast contest.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Find five girls from our audience with small breasts to take an all-herbal remedy that is supposed to grow gigantic breasts.
Wow.
On tomorrow's episode in studio, funny man, Kevin Pollak. Smart, funny, great actor, good guy.
Yeah,
good guest. We'll be able to ask him about, he was, the last time he was on the show, he was filming End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
We'll be able to ask him about Arnold banging chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Also tomorrow, Charlie Stossel. And I believe some jail mail.
Oh, very good.
And a brand new low-budget Jeopardy. All of that on tomorrow's episode. Now time for a call number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don, Mike. Hello?
Hold on. I need to speak to you in a moment.
Where's you?
Hold on.
Oh, you know.
Hold on, Dickweed.
I got my calling ground. I'm calling ground.
Dick? Yeah, hold on, Dickweed. Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
I don't even remember. What did he say that the guy said he said?
Something. We're supposed to be mad at him, but I forgot what it is.
I don't remember what it is.
It's something.
You remember, Buzz?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Roy.
Roy, where are you from?
Reno.
You remember, Rob?
Yeah, he said you never went out with us because you're a hard ass, and also he didn't give us any Christmas presents. That's why you're
all right. Gotcha.
That's right. Thank you, Rob.
Roy, go see the movie Hannibal, okay?
Well, great.
Courtesy of MGM, Universal, and AMC Theaters. And happy St. Patrick's Day from General Mills. You won a box of Lucky Charms cereal.
All right.
That's right. We spare no expense on this show. Now, you're going to play for $500. Secret song number 7. We need title and artists. A top 20 song from the 1990s. Even if you don't know, just guess, okay?
Okay.
Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Beatles.
And hey! We wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret song.
It sounds like that could be a Beatles record. One of them records that you play backwards. I said Linda is a dog. But it's from the 90s, and if we give away the money, it's courtesy of Main Street Title.
All you need is love.
Yep, da 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 da.
All you need is love.
Yeah. Yes, yes. $500. Give us title and artist.
Well, I can't think of the title, but the group I'm thinking of is Spandau Ballet. Think of the song. Yeah,
sorry.
It's called True.
True, true, yeah.
True.
Not by Spandau. I mean, it is by Spandau Ballet, but that's
a natural
that's
sound for a man to make, incidentally. If the guy goes,
thank you, though, and don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
Clue for you.
Clue for you.
Now, we are running late on time. Hey, hi, Dickweed.
God, look, I never called you a hot ass in public.
Well, you did it in private to some guy.
I did? But that guy was just trying to say something. Didn't he know that?
You know what? This is Dennis, like, using it for airtime.
Yeah.
This is Dennis, like, you know, bringing this up. There's no sincerity.
Yeah, Dennis, listen, I don't doubt that you said that. And frankly, I don't care that you think I'm a hard ass.
Where are our gifts, Dennis?
Where's our Christmas gifts?
I have Christmas presents on Monday. Guaranteed. If not, you can cut my other hand off.
Monday. All right. See you then. I'm going to hang up on you now because I'm such a hard ass.
I love you.
Yeah, sure.
A good guy.
That's how you say you love me, by talking about me behind my back to strangers.
God.
You ask people what I say about you behind your back to strangers?
Well, you probably calling me every
morning. No, I give you the words that I've heard. Handsome. Talented,
oh,
a friend.
Oh.
That's what I've heard, Dennis Murphy.
Don, you are my friend. The confidant.
We used to be friends, Dennis.
Yeah, you got a lot of bridge building to do, Dennis.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, goodbye, Two-Face.
I want to double up the dollar amounts on those Christmas gifts this year.
Bye, Two-Face.
Oh, what a good...
Bye.
I can never win.
Ryan. Poor sad sack. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I can never win.
Hang up.
Have a pleasant night.
Hang up, Dennis.
Plug?
Yes, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. Yeah. Hi, Charlie. Okay.
Bye.
He's gone.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's Buzz.
He made it up.
All right, Buzz, what is your lead made-up story tonight? Is it that you're resentful of your role on the show?
Exactly, Don.
All right.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike show.
No, I'm kidding. Well, what is it really?
Tax cuts are coming.
Okay, that was very professional.
Number one, Arbitron rated.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The guaranteed cure for honeymoon cystitis.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Time now for Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Tax cuts are coming. House Republicans today pushed through a 10-year, $958 billion income tax cut. No Republicans voted against it. Only 10 Democrats broke ranks to support the cut. Most Democrats say the cut's too big. Too aimless.
Tax cuts.
Here's your cut, Nancy.
Now the plan goes to the Senate, and no one's really sure what will happen there. The Senate's evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats, which Republican Vice President Dick Cheney needs to break the tie. Right now I'm sawing through Dick Cheney's artery.
You're not going to get through that.
What? Wow, that's solid.
Going to need something stronger.
Doggy. Solid waste.
Jesse Jackson says he'll change some tax returns to show the money he paid to his former mistress.
I paid a lot of money to my former mistress.
Thank you, Jesse. Jesse Jackson, bitter about the flack he's taken from conservatives, says he'll amend the tax returns.
I'm so bitter.
For one of his nonprofit groups to reflect the support payments he made through that group.
I am not bitter. I am not a quitter. I would love to pay my new baby's babysitter.
I will provide the support. And now some snot I will snort. Thank you very much. There we go.
The money amounts to tens of thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Jackson tells the New York Times there is no evidence, none, of illegality or impropriety.
The mother and father, the mother and daughter at the Vegas show had a tooth that looked like a fang. I love the smell of very fresh poutine.
Jackson tells the Chicago Sun-Times he and his wife and his family live modestly, despite the $400,000 a year he makes, mostly from speaking engagements.
As I said before, this is not my finest hour. I will go home and be like that Kevin Spacey and J.O. in the shower.
Jackson says he doesn't even have a credit card or a checking account. He says his wife handles that. Quoting him, I have to borrow money from her to get a soft drink.
People ask me, am I scared? Do I have any fear? I say, no, I'm a magician. Look, I'm going to make four fingers disappear. Right in her ear, the fingers disappear.
I do not care what people say. I will tell them right now that I am gay.
You know what it is? It's like doing perverted Dr. Seuss.
Absolutely. It is.
That's what it really is.
Do you like green eggs and ham? Do you like it, Sam? I am.
If Uncle Sam wants to collect back taxes, he should start in his own backyard. A new IRS study shows that federal employees, including members of Congress and their staffs, owe more than $2.5 billion in back taxes.
We should all start in our backyard. I do want to say Hassan Brown is a Todd.
The report doesn't name names, but it breaks this down by department. More than 5% of House members and their staff are delinquent on their taxes. In the Senate, just under 4.5%. IRS employees, of course, had one of the lowest delinquency rates, just over 1.5%.
Buzz!
Yes.
You think I am a big fat cow? And you'll hate me even more when I say we have to break now.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, yes, company.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock. There's an element of meanness in them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Really, after today's show?
No way.
No.
My ears buzz again.
Don and Mike. A passenger jet headed for Florida cleared for takeoff at New York's JFK Tuesday, even though there were 5 snowplows on that runway at the time. The FAA is investigating the miscommunication that could have injured 152 passengers.
Get to know Charlie.
Go ahead. Oh, no. Joe!
Get to know Charlie.
Oh, we knew it, Joe.
Oops, Charlie. That was my fault, as usual.
Get to know Charlie.
Fortunately, the Airbus cleared the snowplows even through a heavy snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks still haven't gotten over the big snowstorm predictions from weather forecasters earlier this week.
Good, this makes me happy.
You're going to love this. The mayor of Byram Township, New Jersey, wants to do something about it. He says forecasters ought to be held responsible for the money lost by businesses that made decisions based on that forecast.
Yeah, there you go, Mr. Mayor.
Bully, 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 bully. Fantastic. He's holding a hearing Monday night to discuss whether the dire forecasts from last weekend were mistakes or a deliberate attempt to pump up the TV rating.
There you go.
Join me on the web tonight at castratebobryan.com. A National Weather Service spokesman says forecasts are not guarantees.
I heard Tom Curran get a little testy. I was reading that somewhere that he had a little meltdown when they were complaining. One of the anchors was giving him a hard time, and he said, "It's science. It's science. We do the best we can," or something like
that. They turned beet red on live
He's
television.
He's furious. Yeah. It got to him.
I was watching the Today Show this morning.
Right.
At about 7:30, Katie and Matt say, "Let's go to someplace in Vermont where they got 30 inches of snow." And they got the local TV weatherman there standing on a 3.5-foot pile of snow with a shovel.
Right.
And Katie says to him, "Did you blow the forecast?" And he said, "I nailed it exactly." And they say, "Well, our guy, Al Roker, predicted 2. Of course, he predicted 2 feet. And we got 2 inches, and they went to a shot of Al Roker outside and didn't know the camera was on him.
He was pissed.
He was pissed.
Ooh.
And then somebody said, "Hey, you're on," and he smiled, and he said, "Hey, I bet he has the wonderful opportunity to work with people who like and respect him."
Oh, oh really?
Man.
Yeah. Real testiness.
Yeah, it was great. It's about time those bastards deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things are not going well for Puff Daddy. You want an update on that?
Mm-hmm.
His guns and bribery trial took an ugly turn yesterday. Prosecutors introduced phone records that suggest that Sean Puffy Combs was lying when he told the jury he had no relationships with the witnesses for the defense. Combs is accused of trying to bribe the witnesses into saying he did not illegally possess a gun the night of the shooting at Club New York. But phone records show a flurry of short calls to the witnesses and some mutual acquaintances. That takes away credibility from the witnesses who said Puffy had no gun. In a separate blow, Combs' former lawyer testified that he told Puffy not to call one of the witnesses. Combs testified the lawyer told him to make the call.
J-Lo's got a new boyfriend. That's pissing him off, too.
Absolutely. Not going well for him.
Oh, the most ridiculous thing I saw, it was some tribute to Julia Roberts.
Uh-huh.
They're now calling her J-Ro.
J-Ro.
J-Ro, which is incidentally how a Chinese person says J-Lo.
J-Ro.
Now, if a Chinaman comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love J-Ro," you won't know if she means...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Lopez or Robert.
You just ask for a good meal, do you?
Okay, we'll be back. Hold on, Buzz.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
They're marvelous, you daffy bastards. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
Broadcasting under the protective umbrella of the PTAA,
well,
the Don and Mike Show.
It didn't work too good today. I did once.
Yeah, we used it once when we needed to.
Nobody broke the glass the second time. Now, here's another brief Buzz update. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Let's out of one lawsuit and into another for John and Patsy Ramsey. They've settled their suit against the tabloid that suggested their son molested and killed his sister. They asked for $35 million, no word on how much they actually got out of the Globe. But now, their former maid is suing them for naming her as a suspect in JonBenet's murder when, according to police, she never was. The Ramsey's lawyer says the couple plans to file other lawsuits as well.
Maids.
It's their lifestyle.
Jack.
Toggin.
Freaks carry your luggage up to your room.
I will tear your tongue out by the roots.
I'm just padding right now. Because you did mention...
I did mention that
John
name.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Nobody!
Who is Nero?
Nobody! Nobody!
Don't talk over your part.
Who is Jack the Ripper? Nobody!
When Mike's parents forced him into stage work.
The swiniest swine in the world.
Who's the male JonBenet Ramsey?
Jack!
Sad.
All dressed up.
Little rhinestone suit.
The dirty.
I like when you repaint it.
In this wonderful world.
It's a little too tight tights.
But listen to this pitch.
Captain of villain.
Even with the too tight.
Murder and
because of the too tight tights.
Okay, bro.
Eager to kill any.
Enjoy your chili dog.
Hope
isn't cute.
It's cute.
Just a laugh. Yep, there you go.
Yep, real talent there.
I like Mike's new songs better.
Thank you.
Mike our duet.
Yeah.
Hand job.
Yes, absolutely.
It's in the Star Wars.
Great song.
Good, good, very good song. Time Warner may be squeezing Ted Turner out of the TV empire he built, but they can't take away his claim to the title Mouth of the South. Turner, who once said Christianity is a religion for losers, is in trouble again.
Matlock, 1205. Hunter, 105.
This time he's in trouble for calling some CNN staffers Jesus freaks. While speaking in the network's Washington newsroom on Ash Wednesday, Turner noticed the ash marks on several foreheads and said, "What are you, a bunch of Jesus freaks? Shouldn't you guys be working for Fox?"
Different world, 705, 735, spin up of Cosby.
Thought you were in the earthquake, end quote.
Oh, man.
With Catholic League and...
I give him credit for speaking his mind.
Yeah, he always
does
that.
Even when he says stupid stuff.
He does. He keeps talking. He's always done that.
Buzz?
Yes.
Oh, finish this. We got a break.
The Catholic League and other Christian leaders are one an apology, and they say his remarks are insulting.
Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
And defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
Hellcats of the airwaves. The Don and Mike Show.
There is the birthday boy. We never got to his nudes today. We'll do that on tomorrow's show.
That's right.
You know, Buzz, I apologize. We're so backed up with commercials.
I understand.
No wonder you secretly hate me. Say that to former disgruntled employees. Because
yeah.
Now I have to say, it's time for a call 100.
Call 100.
And a prize package selected especially for you. 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller. And we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show. Are taken advantage of, while others are unashamed of their nakedness. As enigmatic as Buzz Burbank's so-called belly buttons, the Don and Mike Show.
I can point out that Buzz tonight, Limited Buzz, was brought to you by eGars.com. Visit eGars.com, check out the great deals on Punch and Ahoyo de Monterey 5-packs. 5 cigars for as little as $9.95. 4 super premium cigars, $18.95. Order online. Call them at 871-81-EGARS. Friday night, join Rob Spiewak for his one-man review at the Shark Club in Centerville.
Right.
Joining the fun with the Rob Spiewak
olive throwing contest.
It can't miss.
Yay! 9 p.m. See you there. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, fiery former Indiana coach Bob Knight is talking to Texas Tech about taking over as head basketball coach there.
I said I'd take over. You asked me, and I said I'd take over. So you asked me.
This from a newspaper in Lubbock, Texas. Knight would replace Coach James Dickey. And Knight
said Dickey.
Yes, I did. I'll say it again. Dickey.
Uh-huh.
Knight says he will sue Indiana University over his firing. He says the lawsuit will allege slander and libel. The New York Giants have re-signed Tiki Barber. The running back gets a six-year deal worth $24 million.
Good move.
Good, he's with it.
The NBA has suspended Reggie Miller for one game and fined him $10,000 for throwing gum at the back of a ref's head Tuesday night. That was the night the Pacers lost to the Knicks at Indianapolis. Miller had just been taken out of the game by Coach Isaiah Thomas and was on the bench when he threw the gum.
You know, I only think you should get a suspension if the gum sticks in the hair.
He hit another referee in the head.
Oh, he did.
He was aiming at one referee.
And he hit him in the head. Did it stick?
Yeah. An indication of the type of night Reggie Miller was shooting for the Pacers. He threw it at one guy and he hit the wrong referee in the head.
Nothing but hair now.
Finally, a woman in Detroit. A woman in Detroit says she reached into a box of Church's Fried Chicken and pulled out a mouse.
Right.
A live mouse.
Yeah, baby.
Nidra Russell says she screamed because she'd purchased the meal for herself and her children and she'd already eaten a piece. She showed the chicken and the mouse to the restaurant, but the owner, he says Nidra is making this up. So it's his word against hers. And she's a police officer.
Did Tim McWilliams have any of that?
He's out here somewhere.
Have we passed him up yet?
Hold on. Hold it. Hold on.
He's next.
Nope.
No, here he is. Hold on. I got two of them going at the same time.
There it is. The woman with the mouse and the chicken says her children have now adopted the mouse as their pet.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
It is. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, no. Yeah, no.
Yeah. No, I know you wish we could stay, but we got to go.
Yes, we do.
Back tomorrow with the all-new episode, including the live sex show to celebrate Rob's birthday. Also tomorrow,
Funnyman Kevin Pollak.
Yay. Very funny man. In studio news about the breast contest.
Funny man.
Charlie Stossel. Brand new Low Budget Jeopardy. All of that on tomorrow's show. Our thanks today to Mike, the dude who burned his hands on Survivor. Good guest. Interesting talking to him. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hold on, let me see what I got. You know, something is hinky with the phones here.
He was there.
Hold on. See, I got no dial tone.
No, I hear it. Oh.
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am caller 100.
Yes, right. Hi, what's your name?
Dave, you fat bastards. I've been dying to win.
All right. Dave, you win.
I can't believe it. You guys are always looking for an excited caller. Now you got one.
All right, Dave. Good way to end. You have won the limited edition wool bomber jacket to celebrate the ABC TV show The Job, starring Dennis Leary. ABC's new and original series premieres next Wednesday at 9:30 on ABC. That's 9:30 Eastern and 8:30 Central. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Wish I could have made it to the show. I didn't make it up to Fredericksburg. I'm calling from Baltimore.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for listening in Charm City. Hold the line, please.
Thank you, Mike. Wonderful show. I love it every day.
Thank you. Hold on a second. Listen, if you want the new bust herbal pills, call Dr. Angela Harris, 1-800-731-9910. That's it. I'm out. Spent. I'm done.
Peace out.
That's it. Gotta go. Buzz, thank you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
That's right. You're foreign. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie, happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Yeah.
And throw your Santa Claus hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just
like it's dirty.
Very nice.
Very queer.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, The Don and Mike Show.